welcome back to Oracle Unplugged Ladies Night, and we have a caller, John in Canada. Can you hear me, John?
I sure can.
Awesome. How you doing? I can hear you just fine.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, considering the circumstances and, you know, the subject matter that you fine ladies have been talking about. You know, I thought I may just throw my two cents in. You know, I agree. Unfortunately, I can't keep track of your gal's name. So, but whoever it was there was just saying that, you know, we got to question authority. And I've had that experience, too, throughout, you know, for quite a long time. Looking at the world, seeing that there are forces at play that really work very diligently to keep us divided. You know, they'll do all kinds of crazy things to create illusions within our society, primarily on television, to have us believe we're hugely divided on issues. And when you actually, I mean, in some of the instances of which I understand fairly well, I truly know that the division doesn't really exist that way. Now, there's a complicated one that I won't really get into in Canada where they say we're fighting against the Quebecois that want to separate from Canada, but really it doesn't exist. But there's a huge effort to manufacture this division. But in the United States, the example I could give is the polls that they'll have on presidential elections where Bush and Gore, I guess it was, yeah, when they were running together, they had CNN would do a poll, and they say, well, what did you think of the debate? Here are the results of the poll. 50% say Bush won the debate, and 50% say Gore did better. And the debate, in all honesty, at that, you know, from my perspective, I'd say, you know, Gore just dunked him repeatedly. He couldn't hold a sentence together if his life depended on it. Bush, I mean. But the poll said it was 50-50. And, of course, the reason was is to make sure the poll was fair. They make sure that half the people they talk to are pro-Bush people and half are pro-Gore. And that's actually public information, not top secret hidden by the Bilderberg or the CFR. That's actually how they do the poll. So, but they create that, oh, yeah, well, I guess a lot of people support them, you know. With that kind of knowledge, as you were talking earlier, you know, there's all these terrible things we see going on, and justice does not defend ourselves to the best of our abilities. We don't even have people demanding, you know, the immediate reopening of 9/11 investigations. And I look at that issue and I go, well, you know, if I could get on CNN or Coast to Coast, like a national broadcast, and just say, is there any soldier on the face of the planet who wants to let those who are responsible for 9/11 escape? Because, of course, Bush closed investigations. Please, open lines, let the soldier come forward and speak for himself, anonymously even, and tell us why he thinks it's a good idea to let those who are truly responsible escape. And my belief is that you're not going to get anybody, you know, and that's the thing. But no, there's all these psycho soldiers, and of course there are some, you know, and some people like to torture innocent people to death, but they have to hide in darkness, you know, and they can't really exercise political power without being deceitful. But if we confront ourselves with the nature of what justice means truly, and like you got to have evidence to form a conclusion, I believe we can easily win. So as you were saying, like what are people's goals? That's one of my goals, is I want to just get on CNN and I want, or CBC in Canada or Coast to Coast, and just say, listen, you know, the FBI and Senator Daschle tell us that Bush and Cheney diligently closed criminal investigations immediately after the terrorist event occurred, primarily because we had immediately discovered it was financed by a General Mahmoud Ahmad from Pakistan. This man is not even arrested. He's still free to walk this world. A friend of his was on the radio a little while ago. He's saying, oh, yeah, he's free. We were out having drinks. I mean, the guy isn't even arrested. And he is, according to the evidence, responsible for financing the thing. And he also did a lot of other things. He was at the White House 2 days prior to the event occurring. And he was also the guy who was responsible for going to the Taliban to let them know that no evidence will be brought against the accused. Otherwise, an innocent man in Christ, and you would be going against Allah and everything else in this universe to hand over an innocent man you know only to be so. Support the American flag, Taliban, and demand evidence to form our conclusions. And Americans, you know, you were hypnotized. Western world was hypnotized. We were told, you can't give the same principles of justice we afford ourselves to the evil Taliban. And really, you've undermined your own system of justice, because that's it. It's whoever you extend it to, you want to ensure you're going after the right people, and that the bad guys don't escape. So it is long-winded. Sometimes it takes me quite a while. I think I explained it fairly well there. And it's really not that impossible to communicate that to just about anybody. And I think our power resides in the ability to do just that, politically speaking, you know, like I say on CNN or anybody, not just me. It could be, you know, any soldier's family that says, hey, my brother's already dead. Now my other brother's been sent to Afghanistan, and we still haven't even gone after the guy who financed the thing. And he's like a, you know, he's like our number one target should be.
Well,
so
yeah.
This kind of nature. Yeah.
Go ahead.
This nature of whatever this is. Yeah. So, you know, and I guess people are fearful of what they don't understand. And this principle of justice isn't surreal. This is what civilization has always been about. I mean, Hammurabi, who founded civilization, said you got to have evidence to form a conclusion. And if you form a capital allegation against an innocent person and have no evidence, you will immediately be executed. That was the first law of civilization. And, you know, the Magna Carta says, you know, a free man shall not be imprisoned. It's a very short sentence. But that's what the whole battle is all about, you know. If you've got no evidence, you can't torture the person or put them in indefinitely behind bars without access to lawyer or judge, because it's our authority that puts people in prison, you know. And it's only these people who pretend they're honorable that hide in the darkness and say, no, you got to torture people, but they don't take their calls, you know. Like Rush Limbaugh, he doesn't want to take anybody's call. He says, oh, we never hurt nobody, but he supports torture. He's got no problem saying that prior. It was just them horsing around or whatever. But, you know, justice is going somehow where we don't understand freedom, but yet we're supposed to, because it's not that complicated. You don't have to be a crazy constitutionalist or a lawyer who's studied for decades. You just got to know that we have power that's here. But I don't know. I try to figure it out myself. Like, people are fearful. I don't know. I scare people sometimes. I just talk like this and they, oh, my God. And I go, well, you know, a lot of people are dying because we can't seem to talk about this openly. But Oracle's awesome. Right?
Well, yeah, thank you. And great call. And, you know, just a few of my little added 2 cents there, even though those 2 cents aren't worth a thing anymore. But when it comes to those political polls, you know, I don't even pay attention to them, and I haven't for a long time, because it's just like a vote. You know, who's manning, who's putting together the data? You know, that's what you have to look at. You can have someone who's got 90% of actual vote, and the favorite elitist is going to have 10% or less. And they will say, oh, you know, it's neck and neck. You know, so you got to look at the people who are putting all that data together, too. Another thing about people, you know, being afraid of change, afraid of, you know, of knowledge, of wisdom, of waking up, I really think a lot of it has to do with they know something's wrong. And a lot of them even know what is wrong. But if they admit to owning up to that knowledge, what it means is that now they have a responsibility to do something. And people have become so lazy that they don't want that responsibility. They would rather wait for someone else to come along and save them instead of standing up and saving themselves. And when it comes to the whole justice system and everything else, well, we are the ones to blame, because we allow them to be powerful. We allow them to reign over us. And we're the ones who really do have that control mechanism. We have the power to say, no, no more. Here's your pink slip. Go home or walk the plank.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, but we can see how, you know, soldiers, for example, are manipulated so easily, and they have so, there's no leadership. You know, they're told, you cannot use the internet if you're a soldier. Okay, yes, sir. You know, and they're not like holding up their gun saying, no, I'm fighting for freedom here. I want to be able to read whatever I want to read. But they're
right. Hey, John, we're up against a break, sweetie, so I'm going to let you go, but thanks for the call, okay?
All right, then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And try to fix the problems. All right, let's jump to another caller. Let's go to John in Canada. John, you're on the line.
All right, Lindsay. Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
John.
Pretty good. Just a couple of things. You know, we should understand that no matter what religion a person is from, they're going to argue that God is just. And if you do believe in God, God's intent is to be just. You want to form allegations against another with evidence. Okay, so it's important that it's good that Lindsay's told us that the private banks have hijacked the public's authority in issuing credit, and as the laws stand today, it's very difficult to convict them for a criminal offense in that respect. But we can convict them endlessly on stealing. You know, they're not child rapists that stole $900 billion in property through subprime scams. AIG is committing the crime of extortion. It's in God's interest to express these ideas to truly defend ourselves. When we talk about shadow people hidden in darkness and we can't discern what their identities are, we truly have no evidence to form our allegation.
Well, let me say that. Hold on.
Well,
you'll get your chance, but before you say that none of these guys have been, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anybody in AIG, but all you have to do is read the Franklin cover-up. Man, I've got the videos from the 1980s, and they're going to be in my next film, Invisible Empire, of Connie Chung and Peter Jennings confirming a young callboy ring in the White House in the late 80s and early 90s. So you know what that tells me? Yeah, I mean, some of those people in power and behind those people are still in power. So I hear you on the shadow organization thing. We do try to cover the news here, but, you know, I've got Lindsey Williams on, and he's a pastor, and he spent time with them, so I feel like I have to ask him about that occult connection. Continue.
Okay, well, I'm not saying that that's not the case. I know all about the Franklin cover-up and dastardly deeds that have gone on. I'm saying that that's separate from the criminals at hand. We have different kinds of criminals here. They're not all part of Skull and Bones. Now, it's true. Bush closed 9/11 investigations, obstruction. He needs to be arrested for that if you truly want to defend your freedoms and get the bad guys, but you don't. You form fear, or you're fearful of true justice, and you say, well, that would be God's intent, but I don't want to really be like that because it's scary that way. And that's the fears we have to face. You know, CIA officials tell us Bush, Condi, and Cheney knew before the war started that there was no WMD. These are CIA officers, FBI officers, and they're going undefended. And that's where God's intent would rest if we truly believed in serving ourselves equitably. We want to treat everybody at Bilderberg and the CFR and the Trilateral Commission as innocent individuals until we have evidence directly implicating them for a criminal offense. And when we say otherwise, we undermine justice because we're doing what the bad guys do. And they say the Taliban did 9/11 or the people in Afghanistan did 9/11. And you know, Jason, as well as I do, there's no evidence to indicate that. But Obama's on TV just last week, or a couple of days ago, I should say, saying that exact fact. And they're not going to defend women's rights. Obama told us on TV 2 days ago, women's rights in Afghanistan are not a concern for him. He wants to go after Al-Qaeda. Who is he lying to, my friends? He's not lying. He's not successfully conning me, conning Jason. I know that for sure. I don't know about Lindsay, but probably not conning you either. Who actually is he conning here? He's conning those teen grunts who don't have experience in life so far and are terrified and need to be ordered on what to do. Is the only way to express some sort of manhood that they're desperately trying to reach for. We need to find a common ground. We have all kinds of differences and all kinds of issues. Let's form common ground on nabbing actual perpetrators for 9/11. And we start with Bush for closing investigations. He's directly criminally complicit.
So yeah, but don't you think that, you know, that's coming out of the Leahy camp as well? I mean, he's the one talking about bringing these people up on war crimes, and I would love to see that. And, you know, I thank you for the call, John, but at the same time, you know, the films that I've made, all they've done is, you know, stayed away from this extraordinary stuff.
And all the rest is when you are operating under the belt of the Knights of Malta, they are the sovereign military order of Malta. They have their own sovereign nation in Rome, and under their jurisdiction, they can operate in any country and never be held accountable for it underneath that umbrella.
I hear you, but think about how would this go down if Alex Jones or anybody was on Coast to Coast and said, listen, Mr. Bush and Cheney personally closed 9/11 investigations. They need to be arrested immediately. Does any soldier in the nation of America or citizen disagree with that position? Because it's a function of freedom. That's what freedom is. You want to pursue the actual evildoers. Now, they're conning us. You know, like all these guys who might be Jesuits or otherwise, or Knights of Malta, they don't want to tell us that. They don't want to tell us there's a video of liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water. Yet now, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and those crew, they want to tell us about the New World Order and the new, we got to worry about the New World Order overtaking world finance, but they've already stole trillions and trillions of dollars. Like, I'm just saying it's a communication problem where it's George Norrie will never allow those facts to be uttered. He's in fact said that on the air to Alex Jones, that he will never be allowed to tell us who personally is responsible for any criminal offense. And Alex Jones said, yes, sir, that's right. It's like this is the conversations they've had in the ears of American people. And not every single citizen in America is a member of the Knights of Malta or Jesuit or whatever, but they don't make the effort. Very few people make any effort to demand justice now, and the soldiers continue to die. And it doesn't take much to hear interviews given by soldiers, and unfortunately, a lot of these guys are teenagers or just coming out of their teens, and part of the recruitment when you finish the Marines class, you're aghast. They want to show the Marines what it's like to inhale toxic substances, which likely cause them irreparable brain damage, along with all the vaccines. So these kids do not have strong abilities to communicate well, and they're just flying in the dark, obeying orders blindly. Well, if we had that opportunity, it didn't matter who, whether they were satanic or otherwise, we'd go, look, he's closed investigations. That's an act of treason, and there isn't a soul on earth, but for those who hide in darkness, who would threaten us otherwise, because they can't speak in the public. They can't come into the light. They have to go, yeah, I don't care. I got to steal from people. They don't want to articulate that because honorable people would recognize them immediately. And I'm saying that I believe almost everything you said. I'm just saying that we can hold them to account. We can arrest these bastards who have, stolen all this property. Like with the banking, they're telling us the New World Order's coming. Well, I'll tell you right now, according to SNL, Saturday Night Live, I guess it's the last remnant of legitimate news gathering, they're telling us the balloon mortgages, they would look for ex-cons and say, listen, move into this mansion. And the con would go, well, what do I got to give you? Nothing. No money.
I want to make a point. Let me say, because I think we're both taking two different routes to get to the same point here. Here's the thing. I agree 100% with what you're saying, is the fact that we can hold them accountable, but we're not able to hold them accountable in their system is what I'm saying. We're not going to be able to bring these people to justice inside of their system and put them on trial inside of their system and get justice. That's the whole point I'm trying to say. But what you're saying is correct.
Yeah, we got to take the system back to be fair, fair arbitrator of justice for ourselves. There we go. We're on the same ground here.
Yeah,
you know,
it's two different routes to get there.
Reclaim our authority. We got to reclaim our authority. Right?
Yeah, I agree. That's the whole point, man. Is that they're not allowing us to even have this. What I'm saying is that if you want to get one of these criminals and put them on one of these show trials in front of a jury of their peers, not a jury of our peers, and put them in front of one of their own people, we're never going to get justice. That's the whole thing, is where, going against the system and creating our own justice is what it's going to come down to. And that's why I'm continuing to identify these people and what they're involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's really what I'm saying, too, is that the jury would be a national broadcast where you'd say, look, does anybody disagree with the facts that even if Bin Laden did it, for example, with closing investigations negates the fact that he might have had accomplices. You know, even those that are brainwashed through Fox News who believe everything they've been told will not accept the fact that we shouldn't keep continually pursuing those who are responsible. And that's the jury kind of element you're talking about, where it's not really a jury.
Great call, John. Thanks a lot. Great points as always. This is Global Reality. Stay with us.
Go ahead, caller.
I already know who this is.
Yeah.
Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. It's been a weird week, dude.
Okay, well, hey, I'm here to make it, I don't know, boy. It's hard to say.
Can you cheer me up? That's the question.
Oh, I don't know. The world is such a mess right now. You know, we got so many bad things happening, and we got no accountability. You know, as Mo was saying, it's almost, we didn't say hopeless, but, we need leadership. We have no leadership. You know, a lot of people, I'm not too familiar with your show. You guys sound so pretty good so far, but, there's a lot of things going on that just the general public are unaware of. And primarily, the first thing in my mind is, I don't know whether you guys are aware of this, but George Walker Bush closed 9/11 investigations immediately after the terrorist event occurred, according to FBI officers and Senator Daschle. Okay, what soldier is going to stand in our way? There isn't. We're suffering from mind control here. We got to understand what justice is. It's a function of freedom. Do you want to nab the actual evildoers or not? And you can't find a soldier who's going to speak in the light of day to say, yeah, I don't care what the facts are. You know, these soldiers are sacrificing their lives needlessly, fighting the wrong side there. You know, they've given all the weapons to the Northern Alliance, openly the heroin pushers. Now they've legalized raping women. And Obama was commenting today, we're not there to defend women's rights. We're there primarily to get Al-Qaeda. And earlier in the day, he told us, why are you in Afghanistan? It's because these are the guys who did 9/11. He's a demon liar, okay? Now, George Bush is convictable on all the terrorist events he's been a direct participant of, You attacked Iraq. Why did we kill the people in Iraq? You know, you had complete unrestricted access prior to the shock and awe campaign of indiscriminately targeting 36,000 different locations, including the telephone exchange buildings. All these brilliant, intelligent women were indiscriminately slaughtered. And
right.
Saddam wasn't in violation of 1441. You could have just locked the soldiers in there. You didn't have to kill anybody. But these people who command our authority do so as criminals because they claim we can't hold them to account.
Hey, John, hold right there. Hold right there. We're coming up on a break. I'm going to let you finish this. I'm going to let you finish the rant on the other side. It's a pretty good rant, so we're going to...
All right. Oh, I'll be there.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is Truth is Treason Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Kevin Hayden, with my co-host, Avery Jane. I believe we were talking to John, one of the callers. He was talking about some of the war stuff with Bush and Obama. John, if you're still there, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? We want accountability, and it's the media's responsibility to defend ourselves. Now, they give us the smiles. They say they're there to defend us, but clearly, if you – like, the thing is you have to do some independent research because you're not going to get information on any TV channel and only maybe a couple select radio stations on the face of the globe. Otherwise, we're being left forsaken. We're left to die as victims, you know, all over the place. You know, I watched Saturday Night Live. They got a skit out. It's, you know, it's talking about balloon mortgages. What they do is they look for a con, an ex-con, and say, listen, move into this mansion. What do I got to give you to move into this mansion? Nothing. You just live here for 2 years. We're going to foreclose on it, and that banker's going to have a $250,000 or maybe $1 million property.
Right.
And it's called as a fraud. AIG is committing extortion. If we had a real honorable congressman there that was committed to defending the way of Americans, he'd be going, look, we want the police officers in there to arrest these guys immediately. It's not impossible that this reality could come true. You know, we had Ben Stein. He was on Larry King. He goes, listen, Larry, I'm looking at the New York Times. I'm reading the letters that they sent to congressmen, AIG officials. This is called extortion. But it just disappears from the view. And then the next day, the great Obama's on with Jay Leno saying it was all perfectly legal. And it's not. There's all kinds of criminality. In particular, giving them...
One of those problems is that they write it into law for themselves. You know, they write it into law so that then they can come back and say, oh, but this was perfectly legal by the books. Look, you know, and then they'll offer up the law that their lobbyists just had pushed into the Senate, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I know that in some cases it's in fact true. Like hedge fund managers are going to be extremely difficult to convict. But there are other individuals with the subprime mortgages where there's a huge list of crimes that they've committed. Webofdebt.com, this woman put I think it's John Statman put together a list of all the criminal all the statutes of law that we can put against them to reclaim some of the stolen money. To give the bankers bailout money is nuts. Why would anybody do that? It's a lie. They con us to think that actually makes sense when J.P. Morgan has more than $1 trillion in capital right now. So
right.
If we need to get a loan, we'll get it from them.
Yeah,
why pay to give bankers free money?
Well, one of the problems, like you said before the break, you were mentioning about war crimes, different stuff. You know, whether it's about bankers, politicians, or anybody. The problem is, who are you going to call upon that is actually going to be able to enforce any kind of trial, bring about charges? I mean, regardless of who we're talking about, you're not going to find anybody willing to step up to that plate in bigger numbers or more important enough in order to get it done.
It can be done. Here's my suggestion. I beg on behalf of your humanity, all the people that are listening, make the effort to pick up the phone and call coast to coast and say, we want to openly talk about the fact that General Ahmad financed 9/11. He's not been arrested. What soldier would support his escape? He closed investigations. We want investigations opened immediately. Is there a single soldier on this planet who disagrees with that position? We swim in doubt. We believe that, they all think they're doing right. We need confrontation on a national level to have open communications, and evil people need to hide in the dark. They can't come forward because they steal, you know, KBR. They rape American women. They've gone unarrested. There are more than 38 reports of women who have been raped by these demon Nazis, and they've gone unarrested because, just like you say, where's the leadership? We nobody at the Pentagon wants to pursue these bad guys. And, man, they're robbing us. Like, it's overwhelming easily, like you say. Everywhere we look, there's criminality transpiring for failures of leadership. And, people say Ron Paul's the way to go. Well, Ron Paul's okay, but he falls massively short and not demanding, you know, investigation immediately. Like he wants to. Well, let's have an audit, and then maybe 2012 they'll finally tell us what happened. We know what's going on right now. All these people are escaping our authority. The only authority they have is what we acquiesce to, and sacrifice criminally. We need evidence to form a conclusion. Torturing is against the law, and again, according to American law, the War Crimes Act of 1986 demands executions to those who torture innocent people to death. And it's for good reason. Why do they want to torture people? They don't want to pursue the evildoers at the real crime scene, where the real victims were. They don't, because hey, they have no commitment to defending your life as an American. They just want to cash out with as much as they can take from ourselves as the undefended, as these bankers are doing, as these mercenaries are doing, and as these politicians who openly take, you know, like you said, well, they've made it legal for all politicians in the United States to take bribes. We just, what is it called again in your country? Lobbying. Yeah, it's called a cash bribe. We want the, you know, that's a little more difficult to get at. But I mean, the nature of that, eminent domain seizures, is that not a criminal theft? They go, well, yeah, but we wrote a special law. I don't care. Right. You just stole the man's house. He has the deed to it. Have you offered him a fair price? No, we just stole it from him. But we can do that. No, we're going to bring in the cops, and you're going to go to and what is the nature of a jury? Right. It's the public. And this is the great thing about, if we could get access to coast to talk about the 9/11 evidence, not the CFR Bilderberg, that's not necessarily nonsense, but not directly, that's not the evidence that directly implicates those who are personally responsible. First Bush for closing investigations, obstruction, General Mack for financing the operation, and Condoleezza Rice being a direct accessory to moving the soldiers out there prior to the event occurring, just right to go in there. Secure the liquefied natural gas pipeline for Enron. Those are the documented facts that stand irrefutable, because that's what the history dictated at that time and continues on today. We need to defend the FBI. We need to defend soldiers who are being for. Look at the soldiers. They're getting inoculated with vaccines. They're full of toxins.
One of the big things about all of that, regardless of what you're talking about, what topic, like I said, until there's a solid effort by not only at the very base and at the very you know, at the bottom, and then up through the middle, up through the up to the very top. You know, not only your local, your city, county, state, and all the way up to the feds. That's going to take time. You know, we all know what happened. We've all got, you know, theories, whether it's documented or not. We could talk about a lot of that stuff, but until there's a concerted effort to push that and actually get people. The mass people, not just a select few, you know, maybe our listeners and other people. Like you said, coast to coast, I think that's a brilliant idea. You know, if you're a listener of that show, call them in. You know, trying to get stuff on air. Call in some of the talk shows on, you know, NBC and Fox News, all this other stuff. Try and jump up on that and get some of these things out there to the public. John, I do have to cut you off. We've got a guest on. I will let AJ introduce him, but as always, like I said, I love the fact that you called in. You had a lot of info to get people kind of those cogs turning. And if you can get that out to the mass media, or just, you know, start your friends, your family, and your neighbors, you know, start pushing that evidence of different things and start getting it into people's heads, so maybe they'll start realizing something is terribly wrong here.
Directly to the phone lines, we have John from Canada patiently waiting. John, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, I guess.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I was calling in.
I'm sorry,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as good as you can be, huh?
Yeah, considering the circumstances, you know, the dollar and the wars and the, you know, there's a couple of positive things going on somewhere, I'm sure. But, you know, we're confronted by the collapse, I guess, of the currency, or the complete devaluation with all the extra money they're printing up. And then there are, you know, patriots, I like to remind people, include those who enjoy torturing people to death. Sean Hannity calls himself a patriot. You know, everybody wants to be, everybody would claim to be a patriot. So we talk about patriot movements, so we don't isolate, you know, what we're talking about. And as a consequence, we're not nailing down some of these issues. And I think some people would consider me not patriotic when I talk about currency, because I don't support going to the gold currency. I criticize the Liberty Dollar guys, and I might criticize some of the positions, those who support Ron Paul.
would articulate, primarily because I just saw a couple of documentaries. You know, I watched Frontline. They talked about the chaos in the market and how hedge funders would actually take more than $1 trillion for their into their personal pockets and go move to Europe with the moolah, and explaining how that money got into their pockets. They didn't actually help anybody. They're nickel and diming everybody to death. So there's that, and then there's one on CNBC just recently talking about police pension funds and police retirement funds.
Oh yeah,
they have the same thing. Police retirement funds, where you know, these investment bankers, they have a responsibility to be honest, and they're being completely dishonest, and they're committing all kinds of criminal fraud. But generally, nobody on TV will tell us this, except for they sort of went through some of the facts in this documentary called House of Cards, which is available all over the internet, or you can get it on the torrents and that. And you know what we have is we have a whole bunch of criminals that are escaping our authority. They're making off with our money. And one example is you can find news items where the banks will say, well, we lost $2.1 trillion in your pensions. You know, lost is often a term they use. And it seems to be some sort of mental or some sort of hypnosis or something, because people hear it and they go, oh, golly gee, I guess they lost the money.
Well, John, you're absolutely right. I completely spend most of my time trying to figure out how this level of social programming, this brainwashing, effectually has, like, done this to the citizens of the U.S. We used to be a country that protested when we saw something we didn't like. We didn't stand, you know, we didn't stand for government to treat us this way. And then all of a sudden, in the 70s, the 80s, maybe we got tired of protesting. Maybe we got tired of fighting the establishment. But, man, we really went to sleep. And to see the actual effects now, that people are literally just accepting this as being, okay, well, what can I do? I hope they can fix it. And not even looking into the root causes, not even doing any type of research to see how we got into this. They're so satisfied with allowing the TV to tell them what happened. Now, did you have a chance to listen or see on PBS the interview between Bill Moyers and William Black last week?
No, I didn't.
Oh, check that out. It's on YouTube.
William Black?
William Black, he is, he's just somebody who's really gone after these people. He first got his claim to fame back in the savings and loan scandal here in this country back in the late 80s. And he went after, like, you know, some senators who were involved in covering it up and complicit. He speaks about, you know, this current crisis, and he hits the nail on the head. He basically talks about all the corruption, all the cover-up, and, you know, once again, he sort of fails where he doesn't want to say it's deliberate. He still just chalks it up to just strictly corruption. But he does admit that Obama, Geithner, Bernanke, Paulson, they are all completely and totally protecting this scam, because they realize if people investigate it and find out the nature of the problem, A, the whole thing will come down. The entire economy will collapse in a matter of weeks. This is what he says, at least. And then B, people will riot, and there will be so much social unrest that the country will come unglued, you know. So that's his excuse. It's all
picking
it up, you know, but...
Yeah, oh, I'm definitely going to look out for that. I did actually read a comment that he made recently. It might have been from that interview, but he was stating that this whole thing is a sham. And like you say, they'll say, oh, you know, we're too stupid. They're too stupid. Everybody's a stupid idiot. But the guys walk away with all the money. And the thing about it is we are generally kind of stupid. We have no leadership. You know, a lot of people say Alex Jones is the pinnacle of the spearfight of New World Order. I would beg to differ, and he ain't taking anybody who criticizes him to open debate.
Right.
But, you know, we're bailing out bankers on only hopes that they'll lend some of the money back to us. Like, that's just crazy. And that's the kind of fault is.
And they're not lending the money back to us. Yeah, that's the problem. They're not lending the money back. They're taking the money and paying off their own debts and saying, oh, sorry, yeah, we're still insolvent. Can we have some more? Like, AIG lost $60 billion, and now they have the gall to say, we're going to need more money. Oh, how much? About $60 billion.
What? Well, this is the... this is their fifth bailout. Did you know that? This is the fifth time they've done this. It's crazy. I've written on that. This is their fifth time doing this. And the thing about it, too, similarly, like with the banking, when I just talked about we're giving the money and hopefully they'll give it back to us, they'll borrow it back to us with interest. I mean, there is nobody on earth that supports it now. Like you say, is that being collapsed right in the streets? I don't know. Like, we got to be able to communicate, and there's got to be leadership. But similarly, with all the bailout money that they've been taking, large, and they call it toxic assets. Well, the toxic assets, this is the evidence of a crime scene.
Right.
You know, they're trading back worthless derivatives, and I sell you $10 billion of worthless paper. You sell me $10 billion worth of worthless paper. Now, why are we going to buy worthless paper? Well, the suckers are on the hook for the losses. And when we make that business, we get commissions, and our commissions come out of the pension funds. And that's why they say, well, we lost the money. Well, nothing is lost in this universe. You just have to track it down and find out where it went. But they don't tell us where it went.
Follow the money trail.
Yeah, and when you do, it's not very difficult. I mean, this is really the secret of the universe, I believe. Yeah, just follow the money. You know, so 9/11. General Lamont financed it, and he's the, you know, he's the guy we got to arrest. But he's not arrested. He's walking away scot-free. I mean, there you go. Follow the money, right? Similarly, like, it's not forbidden knowledge either, because, like I say, Frontline covered these guys. Guys, he's living in an Italian. I think it's pretty close to this, a 50,000 square foot Italian marble mansion. You know, it costs billions and billions of dollars just to build his mansion. Well, he's got no more than $1 trillion. So what the hell? Why not? And is he going to extend any help to anybody? Of course not. You know, all he's going to do is just live like that. Well, we all suffer the consequences of not being defended, like our pension money. Cops pull, you know, this is the thing about the CNBC show called The House of Cards. I mean, they're talking about this is a police officer's pension funds are gone, you know, or their retirement funds. So I was like, wait a second. Yeah, the cops are being attacked. Oh, and another thing in the documentary, they talk about how soldier families, you know, with the subprime scams, and again, it's just that people don't understand. A lot of people understand there's something fishy's going on, but nobody wants to say, you know, the guy will walk up to your house and say, do you want to lower your payments lowered on your mortgage? I can do a special deal. It's Wachovia. You've heard of Wachovia. They're an honorable company. And 99% of the time, especially soldier families, they'll go, oh, sure, just tell me where to sign my name.
Right.
They sign their name. In 2 years, the payments double, and they get the bank gets to steal that property. And they didn't have to put barely any money down. You know, they don't have to cover their loans, which is the big scam of scams.
Right. And my whole problem is it's fraud, and we have the fact that we have the government.
Yeah.
They know it's fraud, and they're not prosecuting. They're not holding these people accountable. They fire Rick Wagoner from GM, but they don't fire anybody from the finance industry. You know, I mean, it doesn't make. And Rick Wagoner, we don't have Rick Wagoner on fraud. What we have Rick Wagoner on is the fact that he sucks at running a business and he ran his company into the ground.
Yes.
Whether he was paid too much for what he did, that's probably the case. But we've got people directly with defrauding people
yeah,
point blank,
yeah,
and no one's getting fired, no subpoenas, no indictments.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And Nader, that's one of the things that Nader's been saying. He said, look, use a tiny portion of this money and hire some investigators. And I know we've got lots in Canada. You know, our Liberal Party, so-called commie lefties, disbanded our corporate crime division. All these cops are out of work, you know, and we had a documentary talking about a room that holds all the corporate criminal investigations going unprosecuted, and the stacks go right to the roof of the room because there's no cops, you know. And then how about the guy who poisoned to death senior citizens at the old folks home with what he knew was contaminated peanut butter? Oh, golly gee, you know, he's got to be arrested for murder or something, like negligent homicide, firstly, maybe even first degree murder. Like, I mean, he says he knew it was contaminated, like that. There's no ownership.
Can I interrupt you there? We are coming up on a break, though. I know we're rocking and rolling there. Up on a break, before we turn after these important messages, this is Rob Chowda and Don Kevin Hayden.
Yeah, hold right there, John. We'll bring it back.
Viewing for their color. Okay. He purposely waited till I was done.
Bigger sellouts than, I wouldn't go down that path. All right, we're joined by John in Canada here. We were just talking about, well, anything and everything that gets under our skin with this whole, it's the perfect economic storm. We didn't see it coming. All these conditions have formed to unleash this economic turmoil that no one could have ever. Yeah, whatever. How come I knew about it 5 years ago? I'm some moron who watches sports and listens to music all day. How did I figure it out? But economists couldn't figure it out, you know? Nice try, guys. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say that some did. The Glass-Steagall Act was put into place after the Depression because they figured out what had happened then, which is almost identical to what's happening now. And the Glass-Steagall Act said you can't have an investment banker holding a regular banking fund. You can't have a pension. You can't have Wall Street hijinks linked directly to pension funds. So Glass-Steagall Act separated investment banking from commercial banking. And that's what it specifically was there for, the Glass-Steagall Act. And in 1999, under Clinton, they got rid of it. So the people who understood economics at the time said, well, no, you're going to cause eventually a depression here because they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They're going to gamble stupidly while risking the public's interest that will go undefended, and they'll pocket all our pension monies as they did before, refuse to give out loans as they're doing today. This is the same. We're repeating history here. We're doing the same thing. So there were some people that at that time and today will highlight this as why these derivative scams are going so-called unarrested, or they're not undefended by the law because they removed this act. But they know they were committing fraud. You know, they know that.
Essentially, Glass-Steagall Act is regulation. It forms different laws and barriers and oversight to prevent that type of stuff happening. And what we saw was deregulation occurring during the late 90s, and especially when TurboTax, Timmy Geithner, was the head of the New York Fed. And it's funny. He sat up on Congress, and he literally said that he was not a regulator, never has been a regulator, and he quickly moved on to something else. But, sir, you were the head of the Federal Reserve in New York. That title of regulator is by default. That's what you do as the chief of the Fed in New York. So, they essentially deregulated. It's sort of like how Colin Powell's son, Michael Powell, the head of the FCC, went ahead in the late 90s and completely deregulated it and allowed people like Rupert Murdoch to come in and buy up as much media as possible. Because I remember living in Boston during the early 90s when he got prevented from buying up, he bought Fox, but then it became an antitrust thing where, you know, he had bought too many medias in too many different sectors. So what he did is he signed the company, or one of his companies, I believe one of the newspaper companies he had, over to his wife so that he could, you know, it was a loophole. And then when Michael Powell came into office and deregulated the FCC like that, what do you think the first thing that happened was? This massive buy-up of media by about five or six different corporations. So we constantly see them removing the safety nets before the big crime occurs. This is no different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phil Graham was the guy during the Clinton administration that got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, and I can't remember his direct quotes, but it's like that. Get rid of these laws. These are communist ideas or socialists. These are a bunch of socialists who want to impose their authority over our will to freely rob America. Almost, you know, I'm almost verbatim there.
Alan Greenspan allowed this to happen. He knew the risk involved, and his excuse is, well, you know what, this will really stimulate the economy. So far it's been good. We see a lot of growth in these sectors and blah, 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 blah. But everyone kept warning him, yeah, that's great. We make a lot of money, but the risk is way too risky here. You know what could possibly happen if this all blows up on our face? And then he signed it into law. He made it legal. So derivatives, hedge funds, all this credit swap defaults, he made it legal. So we have these people dead right. This is fraud right in our face.
Yeah, for sure. You know, if you haven't seen it already, you got to watch House of Cards, because in it, Greenspan is questioned on credit default swaps, and they explain that much of this is criminal fraud. You have ninja loans, you have balloon mortgages, or ninja mortgages, and the credit default swap would make something that was almost worthless into AAA-rated investment vehicles. And they asked him, well, how could you possibly support this? How does this make sense to you? And he's asked this in the documentary. And he says, well, you know, I could never figure it out. I looked at the mathematics on it, and I'm almost a mathematical genius, but I could never figure it out. He admits that.
He did not miss it. Oh, come on. You might think he missed it. He did not miss that.
Yeah, again, criminal negligence, firstly, for sure. Charge on that. He never mentioned it. He supported him continually supporting it, and obviously he's admitting that he had no idea what he was doing, and that's not competent, and that's criminal, because he knew it was costing, as it does, more than $900 billion in property alone.
I mean, they were calling them liar loans. They were literally calling the nickname for these ninja loans are called liar loans, because there's no verification of income. There's no verification of anything. It's almost virtually a name and an address. And there are people that are getting massive loans without being able to verify if they can actually pay back the loan. And on top of that, like you said, John, they were given, AAA ratings, the best rating you can get. It's a lock. It's a shoe-in. These people can absolutely pay it back. The risk is so negligible that, they give it a AAA rating. And it was completely the opposite. It should have been the most risky loan out there, and the loan shouldn't have been given. So, I mean, we've got these people at our rights, but most people are going to go, the AIG executives, they shouldn't get big bonuses. Well, yeah, you're right, but how do they, who legislated this? Who are the enablers, you know?
Who passed it into a law allowing it to occur? Yeah. Well, while I still have you on the line, John, before we hit the next break, when you first jumped on, we talked about Liberty Dollar, a couple other things briefly. I have my own problems with Liberty Dollar. I was curious what exactly was your take on that? You brought that up at the very beginning.
Well, I think it doesn't address the main problem in all these issues that we talked about is there's failure of accountability. The laws on the books aren't being enforced, and there's no accountability. We got to fight for accountability. The Liberty Dollar for that specific example, it's a private individual, and I mean that's the problem. We don't want any private individuals controlling the currency, obviously he's going to need to make a living. Well, we don't want anybody profiting off the minting of currency. Nobody. It's a function of the public. Our biggest problem is that private bankers have pirated our public authority to issue credit. It's not in their authority, but they just walked in and, you know, through all these scams and people not being knowledgeable enough on the subject to say, yeah, no, it's our private business that we give out credit. No, it's not supposed to be that way. It's the function of the government. And that's what it is in the Constitution. So I'm all for the Constitution. I don't see a necessity to bind it to any kind of commodity. I don't see why you have to buy up now. You know, the people who say, no, we got to go to the gold standard. Well, okay, now we have another expense. We got to buy up, what, $50 trillion in gold? And not only that, I mean, the American history, this actually has occurred previously, time after time and time after time. Again, there's a webofdebt.com, this incredibly intelligent woman out. You would be, like, she's far surpasses me to talk on this subject. She is so brilliant and so knowledgeable on it. But she talks about different times in history, particularly with Nixon. He says, yeah, we'll go to the gold standard. So they fixed the price of gold, and as a consequence, France stole all of America's gold. They took all your gold. Because if you fix the price of gold, it's not fixed in France. And if the price of gold is higher in France, they're just going to buy all your gold and sell it instantly. And that's what happened.
Yeah, they did it in 1933, too, when they confiscated all the gold under executive order from the president, from Roosevelt. And you know, basically, how do you stop the people that, across seas that have the gold? And I guess we weren't so well interconnected back in 1933 to make that connection. But, yeah, how could you corner the market internationally? You can only do it really technically in this country or region. So how does that make it stable again?
Yeah, and I figure if you just all you do is make sure it's completely transparent. Nobody gets billions of dollars or trillions of dollars. No, I'm sorry, you're going to earn your living here. You know, nobody gets money for free. We all have to work for our livings, okay? Some people, you know, they get good jobs or they're, you know, I'm not a communist or fascist or anything. I'm just saying that a guy takes $1 trillion for not doing anything for anybody. You just got a special license to take all that cash. You can't do that.
All right, John, we got another break coming up here, man. We're going to hold on. I want to ask you a question about fluoride, a Canada fluoride question. We're going to hold you over for one more break. We'll get into that article. Folks, thank you so much for joining us in hour number one, hour number two on tap. Love to hear from you folks tonight, so call in. All right, John, let's talk about this article I found here, which is fluoride to stay in Calgary drinking water. From being up in Canada there, what is the situation like? Are a lot of communities fluoridated up there?
Yeah, and it's a nightmare. There are people that really profit off our suffering and it's huge. Another day I'll call in and talk about how they steal millions and millions of dollars from casino scams and likewise. So our media is there's only a few people who own everything, right? So fluoridation is always encouraged. So CTV, they'll do a report as they did just, or CKY did a report recently, where they had to address the fact that so many people were complaining about fluoride in the water, and we want to get rid of it. Doesn't make any sense. Here's the science. It's sodium fluoride is a poison. Why are we doing this? They wouldn't tell any of the viewers that. They just interviewed the mayor of, I think it was La Paw, a northern town in Manitoba, and he said, oh, it's perfectly fine. On a national news story, oh, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fluoride. And the news agency would take no effort to inform the public of the science of what it does. And in the thing, in the report, the mayor goes to the tap, he pours the water, he says, look, I'll drink it right from the tap. I'll tell you, it's perfectly safe. And he downs the glass of water. And that's supposed to be our evidence.
Yeah, like he's going to follow. over or something. Like, people aren't smart enough to understand what, like, incrementalism is, or, like, you know, the effect of something in small quantities over a long period of time. Like, no one's suggesting you're going to drink a glass of water with fluoride in it and turn into a drooling zombie who can barely formulate a sentence. It's the process of what it does to you. And I have an article right here I found with it. It says, cancer-causing toxins detected in fluoride chemicals. And it shows these different results that are being being done right now on studying what's in fluoride. And they're finding traces of arsenic, copper, lead, just all types of chemicals that are used in the fluoride. It, so it's not, and people don't understand that, it's not just pure fluoride. When they scrape this crap off the inside of an aluminum smokestack, there's a lot of other stuff that goes with it, and it all gets dumped into your reservoir. All together, a nice one big goulash is dumped into your reservoir for you to consume. Just amazing, man. Just absolutely amazing. Yeah, finish this off with something here. We're about to go another break, but definitely leave us with some words of wisdom, John.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I guess I could. You know, justice we can claim as our own. It's not granted through the government. We are the government. We don't understand that, but we can exercise our rights. You know, there was years ago Bush tried to have me arrested. I went to court and I won my case. You know why? I said, look, he closed investigations on 9/11. He doesn't want to nab the actual suspects. Does anybody in this courtroom want to let these FBI officers go it alone? Let's stand up for justice in our communities. And Bush... it's very easy for us. He actually closed 9/11 investigation.
Thanks, John.
The First Amendment.
And that's the way it is. Never mind that the 16th Amendment didn't grant anybody additional taxation powers. If you look at some of the Supreme Court rulings, it doesn't matter. The IRS does whatever the hell they want. The whole system is criminal, it's corrupt, and that's just a fact. So the fact that all these people swear an oath to the Constitution, it's all for show. And that's really the only purpose of the Constitution at this point in time. It's just a document that they have, and they convince people that, oh yeah, we follow this, but they really don't. Look at all these gun control laws. What does the right to bear arms shall not be infringed? I mean, that language is pretty cut and dry, don't you think? Yet they infringe it all the time with these gun control laws. And you got this talk of how they want to set this firearm licensing program on a national basis. And Nancy Pelosi is, well, she's all for that. And you're seeing this topic slowly being introduced in the media. And they're talking about how it's going to be a revolt of these blue dog Democrats, and it's all theater. It doesn't matter. They're going to move forward their agenda. There's going to be more gun control. There's going to have you're going to have the carbon tax agenda. You're going to have all these things pushed forward, and that's just the way it is. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to John in Canada. John, how are you doing?
Hey, Lee. I'm doing pretty good. You're really getting my brain churning. I follow... I'm following what you're saying there about the Constitution and this nonsense, or, well, okay, hey, I got my own opinion too, same thing, you know? Like, let's just all speak as individuals, like you're saying. Patriots start at the core of the individual. And I'm with you 100% on everything you said this last couple minutes about the Constitution. You know, nobody even knows. I mean, they get into all the minutiae, detail and commas and this sort of nonsense, but, I mean, the people don't even understand the most basic elements of justice, and we're being forsaken all over the place. You know, you were saying, I think it's important to talk about what different patriot movements are doing, and are we together or are we not? Let's just not forget that Sean Hannity calls himself a patriot. The guys who torture innocent people to death call themselves patriots.
Yes.
You know, everybody calls himself a patriot. You know, and this struggle is not... some people seem to suggest sort of a new thing on the horizon. This has been forever. You know, the dawn of civilization started with Hammurabi, and he had the same kind of thing going on then, too. You know, everybody says they're a patriot, including the rapists and everything else. And his first law was, here's how, and this is the dawn of civilization, by the way. His first law is, let's just put to death anybody who gives out a false accusation against somebody else. If you're accusing somebody of a capital crime and you have no evidence, we're just going to put you to death. And that was the first law of civilization, and that's how we started. You know, it's, and we fail all over the place. It's not necessarily that people are what do they call them, double agents, or they're really working for, the Catholic Church or the Knights of Malta or whatever. It's just that people are uneasy and insecure, and we always have uncertainty in our lives. So when I look at, like, no matter what the issue is, like, we look at just the Bush administration or America in general and all these crimes the nation's been a part of, I mean, the evidence is very clear. You know, CIA officers tell us the Bush administration was informed there was no WMD before the war even started. You know, and the news kind of goes, some patriots talk, so-called patriots talk about it, and we continue on saying that the Bilderberg's going to take us over. Well, look, we know that Bush, Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, we're well aware of this, and they work to con ourselves to have our sons and daughters die sacrificed for their criminal gains, you know, and this is what justice is. You know, similarly with the Bill of Rights, you know, you didn't offer it, or, you know, America or we or whatever, the Western world didn't offer any evidence to the Taliban, and people would say, well, we don't want to give them the same protections we afford ourselves. Well, you just trash the whole Bill of Rights. You have no concept. All these people who say they're patriots who uttered such nonsense, you know, they truly don't understand what the Constitution means, because if you're not going to give them justice, you're not going to have it for yourself.
Right. Well, point is that everybody should be free. It doesn't matter what race, religion, creed, or what nation you're in. Everybody has the right to be free, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's what I say too, but we can't allow those kind of utterings to be spoken on almost every single TV channel and most so-called patriot movements also. You know, it's interesting, there's a lot of stuff that you brought up that this got my mind going. You know, I noticed this with RBN and GCN. Now there's some good guys and, you know, whatever, you can't agree with everybody. But a lot of these so-called patriots, they constantly push this gold. You know,
yes.
And GCN's, RBN's more honest with it, like a Robbie over at RBN. He's been totally honest. They say, look, there's a 10% markup here. You're not even going to break even until the price of gold goes up 10%. And he says, you know, I've got some of the best deals around. And you listen to GCN, they're selling it to you for less than wholesale. And not once, not twice, it's every week. We're getting to you less than wholesale. He's got a special deal. Don't give me that bullshit.
John, just no S bombs. But we continue.
Okay. Getting too comfortable with you here.
But, yeah.
Like, you know, the thing is, and that's fine. Yeah, everybody's got a right to make their own money, but it also reaches into everything else about themselves. They say, well, they're the patriot movement. Well, I want justice for 9/11. Well, you're going to have to accept that we're the right and true way is to go to the gold standard. And they go, no, it's not. Well, they're not going to have that discussion. They're not going to discuss Nixon and the gold shenanigans that happened during his administration, where France stole all of America's gold. You know, we don't want to talk about that.
Right.
You know,
that was just a way to get all the gold back to Europe, the whole Bretton Woods Agreement. The more and more I look at this, because the United States is the only one that was on the gold standard after World War II. So all the gold that we had, it was falling right back over to Europe just as they had planned.
Yeah, and you'll never hear that on GCN. You know, yeah, or that I know of. You know, it's because they got to sell this constantly, and it's actually, unfortunately, it gets a little bit more complicated, and we have to respect people who do understand it better than ourselves to appreciate the wise words that they have that go unchallenged. Like, I really love this woman at, I forgot the name of her website, but she's webofdebt.com, I think it is.
Okay, yeah, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome, and she just covers all the history of it, and she can challenge anybody in open debate, and she's going to win every time because she really, truly understands what's going on. And I don't know all the history that she's aware of, but I do agree. Like, all we need is accountability, but we need that everywhere on any issue. We never get accountability. You know, nobody's there to demand, all these congressmen, they're taking cash bribes, you know. We're told it's called lobbying. Oh, no, that's called a cash bribe, you know. And they don't seem to be representing our interests or anybody's interests, but their own selfish gains. Like, how could you sign the Patriots Act and not read it? Like, it's an act of treason.
Right, it's horrible. Yeah, they're all a bunch of criminals, John. And, hey, John, I appreciate the phone call. We're up against a break. But, I concur what you're saying about the Patriot Act. Right? Why would you vote for something that you haven't read? It's just insane. But I'll talk about the cold stuff.
In 2003, Code Pink shared office space with the Institute for Policy Studies, an organization taking money from the Turner, Ford, MacArthur, and Charles Stewart Mott Foundations. The Ford Foundation is notorious for funding liberal organizations. It is connected to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the CIA. Code Peak is apparently clueless about the fact that the money they demand Summers and his bankster cronies is worthless paper based on absolutely nothing but thin air. It is bank ledger trickery. Instead of demanding a return of worthless fiat money, they should be calling for the Federal Reserve to be closed down and the criminals on Wall Street to be rounded up, arrested, and tried for economic crimes against humanity. And this is written by Kurt Nimmo. This is in response to a video put out there showing what could be controlled opposition Code Pink, as he's alleging, supposedly embarrassing banker minion Larry Summers on national TV. Or maybe he made it, this made it on a TV, I don't know if it was televised, but it was the Economic Club in New York City. And, again, it took about a minute or two for security to get up there, which was kind of interesting to see somebody be able to get that close to a banker like that without being stopped, and to sit there on stage and not have any, you know, buddy come up. Plenty of time for something to happen. But, anyway, John's on the line in Canada. We'll go to him now, and then at some point we should get into that article about Obama geoengineering, the recent report that was written about, at least, Obama geoengineering the atmosphere, the Earth's weather. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I'd like to comment on this, the naivete of Code Pink and Kurt Nimmo, both of them. They're both in the darkness there. But Code Pink... I mean, the problem, well, is there's a whole bunch of different angles to go at this with, but I mean, one thing that they don't understand, and most people don't either, is J.P. Morgan has more than $1 trillion in capital today, and they've had at least that much over this, you know, these last decades. They always have tons of cash. So bailing out a bank because we so much desperately want them to loan some of the money back to us at interest, it's irrational, it's foolish, it makes no sense. You could get a loan from J.P. Morgan just as soon. But, of course, they're stealing the cash. You know, they're taking this money and moving it off to wherever. Nobody has an understanding of even why you're, you know, why we're paying the banks. Kurt Nimmo, the problem, you know, with a lot of these NWO or crowd people, they don't understand much of how the currency works to the marketplace. It isn't worthless fiat currency. The currency is what it is. It, you know, if you take $10 to the store and it's a legitimate $10 bill, it's worth $10. Although I'm 100% behind him on arresting, not all, like this is one of the things Alex Jones says, like, we'll arrest them all the bankers. Well, you got to form a warrant for probable cause, establishing that the laws have been infringed upon. And there's tons of fraud, you know. A lot of these guys could go to prison on fraud, but yeah, you have to do the difficult work the police officers do, or at least assist them by providing evidence against the accused. Otherwise, we're going nowhere. Like you say, they're all bad, they're all criminals, and damn it, they're running us into the ground and we're dying. Well, stay tuned next week. Same story. More people dying. Spread it to your neighbor, you know, but we're not empowering ourselves. Largely, I think, because we're intimidated by people who do know what they're talking about. I mean, there's this woman from webofdebt.com. She's so incredibly brilliant. She knows all the history of banking from 1770 or 1760 on. She's amazing, and she gives answers pretty straightforward, you know. And I'm certainly not in her league, knowledge wise on the history per se, but I do agree with her ideas to say we need accountability at the Federal Reserve. They shouldn't be allowed to take any of your cash at all, and it should be a function of the government to regulate what they're doing. And of course, that's not what's going on. So we don't want to disband the Federal Reserve. We want to find out why it's corrupted and what we got to do to fix it.
Uh-huh. And we will be back in just a few, everybody. And we also got the report up, if you want to go into it, about the mass graves in New York that have been confirmed that there's some sort of preparations going on. But all right, everybody, we will be back in just a few. Oh, hey, everybody, guess what? They're going to make people losing their jobs, that whole thing, into a reality TV show. Anyway, John's still with us. We won't forget about him. But yeah, reality TV show. I'm going to look at this right now. For the the growing class of the underworked. Oh, boy. That's a big one. That's interesting. Let's, that's going to be a... I just can't wait for it, John.
Yeah, well, will we in the near future be able to afford cable, you know?
No, they'll make sure we get that. We'll have a special bailout program for that. You know why? Because they'll be nationalized. So they won't necessarily need to have a certain, they don't need to get super rich. Just make a little bit of money through that. Because if they have a whole monopoly over it, they can.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, you should think about
that. Why would they put billions towards the boxes, do you think? The whole, we want to have, make sure people keep watching TV. We're going to put $8 billion towards it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is pretty bad that we pay any cable rates at all. If you think about your local cable company, they don't pay any of these actors money or any. The networks get paid through commercial revenues, and the money you pay to your cable subscriber, they largely just put that into their own pocket. But that's another. Well, it's not another subject. It's a good subject. Quickly, I guess the charge of extortion against AIG and perhaps Obama. You know, people say, Obama, he's worse than the Antichrist. Well, if you want to get a charge to stick against him, extortion would be a good one because there's so much fraud in what he said regarding this these bailout cash withdrawals from America Soul here. This is a fifth bailout if people aren't aware. The fifth time you've bailed out AIG, and of course they just take the cash and it's nowhere to be found. They lose it. They keep saying, we lost your cash, we lost your cash, we lost your pensions, $2.1 trillion. Lost. Well, they just paid themselves with that money and then that's what they told you. But I think our main problem is that everybody's prone to suggestion. It's just a function of consciousness. It's a function of reality. Because there's no absolute certainty and doubt is ever present, you can always go, you know what? I don't believe you. Or maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're trying to lie to me or con me. You can always say that because there's no absolute certainty. And there's a madness in there when you actually pursue that knowledge. But you can understand, though, that we all have to go by somebody's word, you know, and there are forms of mind control, if you want to call it that. And I could give you an example to look up. When Bush told America and the world, Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in, you know, quote, unquote. I mean, that's what he said, and that's how he started the conflict, 36,000 indiscriminate targetings. But that wasn't true. It was completely false. But understand, he kept saying it on TV. Nobody on TV would say anything alternative. That was the truth. And he kept saying it. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. Nobody would say anything. And even the great, so-called great Alex Jones wouldn't say anything either. I mean, these are the functions of how we are controlled. You know, and when you seek it out, you find out, well, no, America had complete unrestricted access prior to a bomb being dropped or a bullet being shot. So the whole thing is a war crime because it's completely unnecessary and goes against the Constitution also, you know. I mean, who could possibly support this but in blind faith that somehow this will make sense somewhere in the future when all the history is erased. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to succeed. These mathematical certainties are, you know, prevalent in our suffering world. So many people have lost their homes. So many people are losing their jobs. There's fewer and fewer dollars on the street. The banks don't want to give out loans, but they're going to continue taking our payments plus interest, thank you very much, even after giving them, you know, like more than $10 trillion. There's going to be consequences. And I think one of the positive results on this are people are going to start demanding answers. And they're going to start going, how did we get to this point? You know, so I'm hoping that leveled heads will prevail on seeking out the answers instead of just flailing madly by going, you know, eat the rich. But maybe that might not be such a bad idea after all. I don't know. There's a lot of good wealthy people for sure, but there's also a lot of criminals also that, you know, for one failure or another, they get away. You know, hedge fund managers, I think I told you last week or whatever, you know, some of these guys have more than $1 trillion. You know,
hey, there's exactly. They're also, I think you brought up 9/11 the other day, so I want to bring up 9/11 right now. And there's some new information here from Ross Story, and I want to read this thing here. This is a keeper. Study claims highly engineered explosive found in WTC rubble, and that is in Ross Story. Hey, this is still Stephen Jones, though. I wonder why they're just now reporting on it. But they are reporting on it. But I guess, I'm sorry, false alarm. I thought it was some new information. We already know about Stephen Jones, though. I guess the story here is that the Raw story is covering it, I guess.
That's good. Yeah, at least it's that far. You know, it's great to see, him finally get some, he's getting some recognition. He can get a hell of a lot more. But, I mean, we got to understand, these people on CNN smile at us. You know, all the investment channels, they're all your buddy. They're all there out looking for you, number one, you know. They're all committed to free market principles, but they're going to steal your pension, and they're not going to do nothing to defend yourself. Are they going to contribute to the escape of these actual bad guys? And a lot of people go, well, they're geniuses, and they're not, you know. There might be some guys a little clever, but, I mean, some of these crimes are just blatant. It's just we're fearful of what we don't understand. There's no leadership. In Canada, for example, our so-called liberal, what maybe Americans would say is a communist or the left-winger liberal party, disbanded our corporate crime division, for example. So all these cops lost their jobs, and they did a report on W5. It's one of our national 60-minute type programs, where they showed in Ontario, you know, a room just filled to the ceiling of investigations incomplete because there's no officers to commit to just cause to nab the bad guys, and it's all corporate criminals escaping. So likely similar actions have taken place in America. And all we got to do is take some of Nader's advice, and he's suggested, as others have also, you know, take a little tiny little bit of these trillions and trillions of dollars that are going out the door, disappearing to foreign lands, and put some of that money into rehiring some of these investigators, and let's track down, you know, these criminals. There's so many of them. You know, so many guys have stolen these houses with these mortgage scams. I mean, we can't let them walk away as multi-billionaires or whatever. That's just crazy. They cannot be allowed to escape, but they think they will because they figure we're all going to be overwhelmed. There's just too much to deal with. Blame it on the Bilderberg or the CFR. And I'm not saying there's no bad guys in there. I'm just saying it's impossible to form a warrant against Bilderberg, you know, because the bartender in there, you know, he might be a decent Joe. He's just figured it would be a good job, doesn't know much or nothing, and, you know, he's working there, you know. So there's a lot of work that we have to do, and I'm hoping, you know, people will be committed to some of the same principles. We always get lost, though, on other issues, like going to the gold standard. I think that's a foolish idea. I think, but how do I get an open debate to discuss the matter? I'm positive Alex Jones is not going to allow me to say that. You know, and that's the problem. You know, uncertainty. We're going, well, no, I thought my ideas were faultless. Well, no, going to the gold standard. First of all, you have to buy a whole bunch of gold. Where are you going to get the money for that? And it's just, the problem is accountability. We have no accountability. These guys walk away with their money. Bush closes investigations on 9/11. Well, he's escaping accountability. We want to nab the bad guys, actually. No, and it's like I say, like hypnosis. Like that's what they're doing. No, you are going after the bad guys, and if you disagree with Bush, you're a terrorist. And they keep saying that to you, and that's all these soldiers know, and they don't know anything else. You know?
All right, break time. Break time.
Anyway.
We will be back in a few, everybody. Thank you, John, for all that.
Okay. All right. We'll be everywhere.
All right, and we will be back in just a few, everybody. Keep it right
here on Become Vocal Local, and we're joined also, we're getting real international here. We've got Sean on from Australia. We also have John on from Canada. John, are you with us?
Absolutely, yes.
Great. Questions, comments, ideas? Go ahead. Jump in.
Sure. Well, I would just add to what Sean was saying. You know, our authority is being usurped. We can reclaim our rights by just understanding a lot of what freedom means as it pertains to the standing laws that are on the books currently. AIG, well, here's a good example. The day before Obama spoke on Jay Leno, Ben Stein was on Larry King, and Ben Stein had commented that he was reading the New York Times, and they were revealing that AIG had sent messages to congressmen that if they didn't get their bailout money, they would run the company into the ground. And Ben Stein stated to remind ourselves that that's called extortion, and it's highly illegal, you know, and this is the thing. I mean, the subprime scams, these are criminal frauds. You know, they tell somebody we're going to lower your payments, refinance with Wachovia, for example, and then in 2 years, your payments double. They foreclose on that property. We had balloon mortgages. They get ex-cons. They say, hey, you want to live in a multi-million-dollar mansion? And the con says, well, wow, really? How much do I got to pay for that? Nothing. You don't have to give us a cent. Just live here for a little while. Then we're going to foreclose on it, and we're going to, you know, they're going to all of a sudden own a multi-million dollar mansion that they put zero down for, and that's called fraud. It's all kinds of fraud. There's a huge list of different kinds of violations of law that they're that they've broken that are not being enforced. Congressmen are taking cash bribes. You guys call it lobbying, but it's a cash bribe. I mean, they're openly taking cash bribes from these thieves, and as a consequence, no congressmen that I'm aware of are demanding justice now. I mean, the TARP funds is just, no matter where you look regarding these banking shenanigans, it's another fraud after another fraud. We have the woman, the chairwoman who's responsible for government oversight over how this TARP money is being divvied up, and she was suspicious. She thought something, she doesn't sound like a person who's really on top of everything, and that's just the kind of person they wanted there. But she felt kind of suspicious and decided to bring in an independent auditor to figure out what's actually going on. The independent auditor comes in, looks at the books, and finds out for every dollar that America's being suckered, just on the TARP funds, you're only receiving 60 cents back in what you're purchasing. So they're committing another fraud. And this was on Rachel Maddow, but yet it comes and goes. Nobody says, hey, call the cops. What do you mean you're only getting 60 cents for every dollar? It's another fraud. It's all right. It's just failures, leadership all over the place. And we can't.
John, it's a global thing. It's not just localized. Sean, any comment on that? Are you still with us, Sean? No, Sean's dropped. Okay, yeah. Well, let me comment on that, John. Have you ever read anything at all by Leo Strauss?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Leo Strauss, yeah.
Okay, I have a book in my library that was written by Shadia Drury. I haven't read, other than excerpts out of her book, I haven't read any of his original writings. But her summary in all of this, and his direction, is twofold. One of them is a city of speech. In other words, we call this a city, or we call this a state, or we call this a nation, or we call this the United Nations, or we call this the G20 or the IMF, only in speech. It's in speech alone. And then the other, the corollary, is that it's a city of crime. So what he was basically teaching, and Wolfowitz and Crystal and others were adherents, her research was correct and my understanding is proper, there are many adherents that came out of this school from Leo Strauss's teaching in the University of Chicago. He was one of the various emigres that were swept up out of Europe in the roll-up between World War I and World War II, brought to the United States for safety, much like after the war where we had the rat lines, you know. But they were brought here, and he taught. And so what I'm seeing is a fulfillment of this concept of a city in crime. In other words, everything goes, it's a big casino, it's okay to steal, from the people, rob, rape, pillage, get away with it, have a good time, or as, who was that clown, Aleister Crowley, do as thou will, for it is the whole of the law.
Yeah, a philosophy of criminality, and these guys profess it proudly. Nazism is the best word I have at the top of my tip of my tongue, but I'm sure, you know, they belong in a class amongst themselves as let's say demons. I mean, they're just there to victimize ourselves, and that's our failures in language. I mean, the World Bank have a charter. It says we're never going to hurt anybody. Any investment we do is for the benefit of the community or the populace that we're working with. Well, that's not what happens. They just constantly run us into the ground like they did in India. I mean, the people who work at the World Bank, like, they have a requirement. You got to make an assessment whether this is an effective thing to invest with. The people who work at the World Bank said, this is terrible, detrimental to the people of India. You're going to destroy entire little cities. Like, hundreds of thousands of people are going to be flooded out and displaced, and you're benefiting nobody. But guess what? They went ahead with it because one of the World Bankers was the guy who owned the big tracts of land for a sugarcane factory, and he figured having this dam here would benefit his private takes. He doesn't care about the public. It's always exploiting the public who's always left undefended. I mean, we have this with Bush closing investigations on 9/11 immediately and then saying if we disagree with him, we're the terrorists. Well, how are we supposed to form our own conclusions? You know, he demands that we try to form our own conclusions. We're terrorists. No, but there's nobody there. That's what I'm saying, my friend. There's nobody there to speak in our interests. Even the people that we say are, like, you know, and I don't want to criticize those guys, I guess. But, I mean, you know, people say, well, Ron Paul, he's okay. Well, Ron Paul's not demanding justice anywhere, really. You know, he's talking about stuff and things, but we need justice, and it's not that difficult. Like I say, what soldier in the entire nation of America is going to side against supporting the arrest of those who actually did us wrong on 9/11. I mean, he closed investigations. Let's say Bin Laden did do it. Fine. Don't you believe he might have added some accessories to the crime? You know, like, this is the thing, the nature of language and the nature of justice we can reclaim as our own if we, you know, if we get over our fears and understand how some of these scams are going down. Like, it's Ben Stein on Larry King is what I was saying. You know, this... Hello?
You're on the radio.
Okay, I guess there's a little bit of a time squeeze there.
Yeah, sorry
about that. I believe that these labels don't mean too much, but for to say we don't have enough capitalism. Right now we have AIG committing the criminal act of extortion. These subprime scams are criminal frauds. If we lived in a true capitalist system and people believed in those structures, you'd demand the arrest of these bad guys.
I agree 100%. Let me clarify a couple of things because I think your points are very wise. The naked capitalist, the belligerent capitalist, the over-the-top, only capitalism-centered person, it's called predatory capitalism, is abusive and just as bad, just as wrong, just as tyrannical as socialism. The free enterprise system says we believe in a capitalist society in the sense that we believe we have the right to keep the fruits of our labor and receive the benefits of our work and our efforts, and we have the ability to grow, and it's a fantastic economic engine. But free enterprise suggests a moral component. That is, if I can do the right thing and make money, I'm going to do that. If I can make a little bit more money by being immoral, I'm not going to do it, even though I can make a little bit more money, because I believe in the principles of a free market system. That means free market means it's a good thing for you and me. Pure capitalism says, if I can rip you off $1 million, I'm going to do it. The capitalistic side of me says, do it to it. Who cares about John from Winnipeg?
Another word for morality is justice. Again,
yeah, but hold on. A free market system says, hey, I don't want to rip John off Winnipeg $1 million, because if I did, it's a short-sighted single event that makes me rich and puts him in
poverty. You're being a fascist or a communist. You know, that you could argue a lot of these systems that are breaking could be you could find them under communism.
Yeah, and what I'm saying to you, though, is the moral component says I'd rather take a little bit of money from John. I'd rather make a good deal for both of us where we can both prosper.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have a long-term relationship that's mutually beneficial. When we come back, stay there, John. When we come back, I'll let you respond, and I'll also have Richard Mack chime in, because he's got some valuable input, and Kirk Cosby can do the same as well.
Wait, look out!
All right, John from Winnipeg is with us, and he's basically saying, hey, you know what, the capitalist system is fantastic, we need to throw these people in the clink, and he's absolutely right, but I submit to you there's a moral component to the proper role of a free market system, the free enterprise system, and that's capitalism, yes, in terms of the theory, but it's based on a moral component. That's what separates a republic from pure democracy, is this moral component of, hey, we got God's law here, and just because we want to do something, the moral law prevents us from doing a lot of things that the pure natural man or individual might want to do. Do you want to respond to that, Richard Mack? Then we'll let John continue.
Well, yeah. You see, capitalism really promotes the philosophy that there's something good in the deal, in the business, for all people.
Agreed.
Everybody wins. But in socialism, somebody has to lose. Somebody is going to have it taken away from them and given to somebody else. And that's the moral component that is absolutely wrong. When I do business, it helps the customer and it helps me. I make a profit and they get a good product. And if I do that better than somebody else, then so be it. And that's what the free enterprise system is about. But it's never about backstabbing somebody else and getting more for yourself. Now, that becomes a crime, and it's against the law, and it should be punished. And then, just like John said or pointed out, we have people who have taken way too much money in these insurance frauds and banksters, and we're now rewarding them with taxpayer money. And we should have let them go bankrupt, or let them go to jail, whichever the case may be.
Well, I say both. But anyway, they're innocent until proven guilty. Let's prove them guilty and toss them in the clink. John, go ahead,
sir. Yeah, oh, for sure. We're all on the same page here. You know, nothing frustrates me more than to watch all these investment professional channels telling us about how they're constitutionalists and they really respect the free market hijinks that are going unreported. I'm fairly knowledgeable, Eric. I am knowledgeable on the banking industry, and no matter who I talk to about all these different scams, once they understand it, everybody goes, oh, my God, these people have to be arrested.
They
never make the effort to tell us what a hedge fund manager is. I mean, some of these guys have more than $1 trillion, and they've done it like your guest has just said. I mean, These guys have done nothing to help anybody. There's no competitive market there, but to know that they're depriving us of the knowledge and understanding how they're nickel and diming everything and walking away with literally trillions. And it's just our failures in leadership, failures in understanding the laws that are already on the books for fraud particularly, and all these homes that have been stolen. They're attacking soldier families. I guess they figure these people are the least of the defended in our populace, but... you know, boy, you know, we're on the same page. We need to call the cops, I think.
Amen to that. Thanks for the call, sir.
Okay, yeah.
The other interesting thing about John's comments, and I think they're wise comments, Richard Mack, is that this idea that capitalism can be hybrid somehow with fascism. And what that means is there's capitalism as long as the government pulls the lever in favor of those folks who are considered the capitalists. And that makes capitalism all right, and that's a deceptive ploy that has been used in America to lead us down this primrose path of deceptive capitalism or predatory capitalism backed by government creating a fascist capitalist scenario.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better, Sam. That's exactly right. But it also has one other component, and that is that we have dishonest politicians who are taking money from these people, these corporations, and until that stops, it's going to continue the corruption.
If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment, the phones are full. I hope we can get to everybody. We're going to be rushing here. We're going back to John in Canada, if you want to finish up where you were about the laws on the books.
Yeah, it won't take much time. We got to understand that justice is our own, or justice is ours, and we can exercise our rights by understanding really the simplest things. You don't need to be a constitutionalist, or it's important. I mean, it's a good thing to understand the Constitution, but a lot of those principles in the Constitution are just easy sense. You know, you need evidence to form a conclusion. Otherwise, the guy's an innocent person. By Bush closing investigations, he's undermining justice for ourselves. And for him to tell you if you disagree with him, you're a terrorist would be incorrect, and we need to correct ourselves and demand that investigations be reopened and we nab the actual bad guys responsible for mass murder in New York City. My beloved America, do not go forsaken. Let's get together on these simple issues and demand justice for ourselves. Continue on, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Thanks a lot, John. And please call in again here. We're going to switch over to Chris in Florida.
Now, what you're talking about there, you know, it's right. I mean, you're right. They want to kill people. You know, they bomb people. And in almost every case, I mean, they have no justification for it. I believe they're pirating our authority. You know, they say they're fighting bad guys or getting terrorists, and clearly that's not the case. The soldiers are being conned, and they're being stuck up into situations where they end up sacrificing their lives because of bad military leadership. And there's all kinds of examples. I mean, Samara, though you probably might not be too familiar with this, but there was a time in Samara where they said, look, you can come in the city. You don't have to bomb the place. We'll cooperate 100%, no problem. But they decided to bomb the city anyway. It was General John Batiste who was ordered to go in there and just kill people indiscriminately. And then that's what he did. And then they sent the soldiers in there to placate hostilities. And, of course, they died. Well, a bunch of soldiers died. And the first day, although a lot of the deaths were also Iraqis, but really only one report that came out of the area, and so I can only trust that maybe it's half true, but I think the death toll was, I know it was over 300, it might have been something like 365 people on the coalition side died, and the whole thing was totally useless and needless. You didn't have to kill anybody. I mean, with the same situation with Fallujah, they surrounded the city for 8 months, not a single shot was fired at any soldier, and then Salah orders them to go in there and... I don't know if you're familiar with Fallujah, but they killed a lot of people.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And soldiers died, too. And they're being sacrificed stupidly. And there's no leadership. I mean, did you see the video of Obama talking to the soldiers in Iraq? They look like 15-year-olds. They're all so excited, and you know, it was like a rock concert or something.
Well, and the thing now, John, with the economy being bad, they're exceeding all their recruitment goals because people want an income. And so now they've got a fresh group of kids to send into this that they can use and abuse, send them over 4, 5, 6 times. Because the guys that have been over there 4, 5, 6 times, they're ready to get, they're done, they're toast, they're wasted. Their lives have been wasted. Their minds are gone.
Yeah.
And that's utterly the sad thing. John, stay right there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about this on the other side. We're talking with John in Canada here on tonight's edition of the Midnight Rider, talking about the war in Iraq and the fact that, you know, needless people in Iraqis been killed. Over a million Iraqis dead. Over 4,000 U.S. troops. That's what they've admitted to. Those are the ones who died in country. They don't give us the figures on those who died on the chopper. Or, yeah, they died in combat. They don't give us the figures of those who died in a hospital or once those wheels on the chopper are lifted up. And now the thing is, you know, John, now they want to expand this in Afghanistan, where you had general after general, both British generals, you've got American generals, you've had NATO generals, who have said there is no way to win a war in this country, but yet, you know, they still persist in wanting to ramp up the level of violence there.
Yeah, well, they refuse to delineate good guy or good from evil or bad guy from good, because if you did, and you used the facts, we'd understand who the good guys and the bad guys are. I mean, those
right.
who want to legalize rape and women would be the bad guys. And Obama was questioned on this when he had his press conference with NATO and said, well, we're not there to fight for women's rights. We're there to go after Al-Qaeda. And then earlier in the day, he told us that the reason you're in Afghanistan is because 9/11 was committed by the folks that are living there. Like, what is he talking about? There's no evidence to indicate that is so. So he's either pirating the souls of these soldiers who are too naive to care, or they're too naive to know better, or they really just want to kill people. And it's all either a big video game for them, like the new strategy. They're doubling the forces in Afghanistan, and General Mullen, Mike Mullen, Admiral, I should say. Yeah, the strategy is to intensify missile strikes inside Pakistan. So, and they're threatening the government. The government's not doing enough. What, do you have any evidence against anybody? You know, like, what's your problem, man? All the Taliban wanted was evidence to form your conclusion. I mean, Bush closed investigations immediately. So, I mean, they're conning us, and they're killing our families. And it's a benefit for them to, you know, cause more suffering and death in that region, because it'll enrage the survivors to go, look, these guys are evil. They're just slaughtering ourselves.
And according to Bin Laden, if we take it Bin Laden at his word, he, according to him, was told by the Taliban that he could not plan or initiate operations from inside Afghanistan. So, you know, and that's of course before we had Fat Bin Laden come out with the 60-pound weight gain. I guess it's amazing what I guess maybe he missed a dialysis appointment that day and was bloated up.
All you got to say to a soldier who believes this nonsense is to go, okay, fine, Bin Laden did 9/11, but don't you want to pursue anybody that might have been working with him on the project, because Bush closed investigations? He doesn't want FBI officials to pursue the crime scene leads. A soldier to go silent is a coward. You know, he's willing to shoot these poor peasants. Well, actually, in Afghanistan, prior to the bombing campaign beginning, they were on the brink of starvation. People were actually starving to death.
Right.
And they targeted every building they could see. They dropped a 38,000-pound bomb, MOAB it was called, on Kabul, the capital. Who are you targeting there? Oh, everybody but the Taliban, who they flew out prior to dropping the bomb. And these are people that are literally starving to death. And we blow them to pieces, because Obama today can even say, hey, 9/11 was committed by these guys over there. And that's like, it's so absent any facts. It's insane. I mean, nobody believes that, but they got to either be suffering from some kind of mental illness, or they really are evil people. They really want to hurt innocent people and help escape those who are truly responsible for murdering our friends and family in New York City.
Well, I think they are, you know, evil people. John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think they are.
Hey. Yeah, strategies, you know, we got to figure out what's going on. You know, they're missing a whole bunch of important info, and this idea of freedom has been around for quite a while. You know, Magna Carta, a free man shall not be imprisoned. You know, a lot of people will read that and go, yeah, well, so what? And it's so significant. It's so huge. It's to understand, you know, you're in tyranny when you're imprisoning people without charges, indefinitely maybe, because somebody doesn't want to hear what they have to say. And I see our problems strategy-wise. You know, I'm looking at the world and history, and we just fail to hold people to account for all kinds of things everywhere. The banking, the vaccines, the food. You know, nobody's held to account. Nobody's brought to the floor to explain themselves. Everybody's got an excuse. And
our freedoms are being trashed. I mean, they're robbing us blind, if you already know, probably do. You know, bailing out a bank is irrational, makes no sense. They don't cover our loans. Giving them money on only hopes that they'll lend some back is just foolish. And it costs a lot, too, so that sucks. But, you know, we need to establish what are the freedoms that everybody shares. You know, if you've got no evidence, the person's innocent. And if we want to get the real bad guys, we got to pursue them from by following the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. I know there's a lot of theories on the New World Order and a lot of different, as they say, theories on that. But we do know for sure, guaranteed, without any shadow of a doubt, according to the FBI and Senator Daschle, Bush closed investigations immediately after the event occurred. And then we had to, you know, pry and beg and plead that Kissinger would head up some new investigation that never really transpired. But for to say we're missing all the critical revelations that were made right after 9/11, right when Bush was closing investigations, it had been revealed that the thing was financed by General Ahmad, who is the head of the ISI. He had wire transfers from him to the so-called mastermind ringleader terrorist Al-Qaeda wannabe, Muhammad Atta. That's, and then Bush said, oh, we got to close the investigation. So I guess so. He's working at the White House 2 days prior doing something or another at that same time. Same
yes, that guy was a very busy guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, and the other piece of the revelation that should just rock our world and bring about a better state of freedom by pursuing these leads. The second thing is... this guy, General Ahmad, on that date of question was the same date that Jim Mikuszewski informed ourselves that somebody anonymously from Condoleezza Rice gave him the top secret presidential directive invasion of Afghanistan strategy war plans that were dated 2 days prior to 9/11. And that's it. And that's why there was that madness there for a little while, where Bush looked really super guilty, like we were going to nab him right away, and then he somehow escaped. And like the UN, you were talking about the UN, like I know of all kinds of crimes at the UN. You're like, think about this. When's the last police investigation that occurred at the UN? It never has happened. It has never happened with the World Bank either. And the World Bank, you know, they got the charter, just like the UN's got the charter, and the World Bank, all we want to do is help people, but we've caught them deliberately trying to kill millions of people because the one banker there had an investment in some dam in India. So he wants to just drown hundreds of thousands of people, like a complete cities, towns, you know, with stores and cars and everything. Just flood the whole place out because I want to have water for my sugarcane factory. And he was a monster, and nobody arrested him. And it's stuff like that when you learn, like at the UN too, like they stole like $90 billion from the Oil for Food Program money. And the madness of it is at that time, you know, Bush was up there saying, oh, Saddam stole the cash. And we're so weak. We're lacking leadership in our news agencies also, because nobody there was there to tell us what the evidence was, that all this money had been pilfered through what was called the 661 committee. You know, we need to do, all America needs to do is believe these TV shows that have cops doing all their jobs correctly. Like, why is all our fiction, as it pertains to police dramas, not prevalent in our political machinations of deciding what's good or evil, for example? Like in Afghanistan, I'm sure you know this too, Alex. You know, they just made it legal to rape women, you know, and they're Muslim fundamentalists who push heroin openly, like the Northern Alliance or the heroin pushers who are armed to the teeth with American hardware. And the DEA actually did a documentary with CNN. They went out there, and the DEA wanted to clean up the mess. So part of the documentary was DEA officials sitting with the Northern Alliance and over a map, and the Northern Alliance leaders are telling them what fields not to touch. These are all the fields you don't get near, buddy. And the DEA said that's what they're doing there. They don't want to get in the way of the next heroin crop. And it's documented on CNN, and nobody says anything. Like, we're blind. We're truly blind. Like, people don't see, or they don't care. Not enough people care, apparently, because all it would take is a phone call. I wish people would demand 9/11 be reopened so we can nab the actual perpetrators who are guilty of committing mass murder in our beloved America, going forsaken. But, you know, we can do it, though. You know, it's just people get fearful of what they don't understand. They go, oh, geez, this guy's kind of scaring me. I'm talking about your freedoms, my friend. You're just as much to be teed off about this as I am. You know, these people have died in our names because we're failing to communicate these simple, super simple things. Like, man, you got no evidence. The guy's innocent. Then what do you mean he's guilty? What, you know? Have you heard that the Supreme Court of the United States of America wants to, or has made it legal for Obama to indefinitely
incarcerate Americans without charge?
Obama? Is this something brand new? Is this something, I know about the whole mandatory civil service.
No, that's a different thing. They had ruled that it is in Obama's authority to deny you the rights of a citizen in a democracy or a republic or whatever. He doesn't have to be able to have evidence to form an allegation against you. He just lock you up or whatever, man.
Well, Bush did that. You look at things like H.R. 6166. It's kind of odd how there's three sixes in that particular piece of legislation. For those that want to look that up, H.R. 6166, when you're dealing with the end of habeas corpus there. Hey, you know, I just want to mention right now that again, you're not seeing major protests in the U.S. when it comes to dispatching troops to Afghanistan. But you look over here, you look at buildings burning and tear gas flying outside Strasbourg, NATO summit. Strasbourg, again, there's protests there, too. It's not just the G20. But here at home, we're only going to protest unless we got the socialist flag in front. It's just totally bizarre. I'm not saying it's like that with everybody, but it just was very Twilight Zone. Where am I?
Well, it's hard to get common ground because so many people have divergent political philosophies pertaining to, like, banking, for example. And you know, I've got my ideas. Other people got theirs. But, I mean, it's just the real simple things I wish we could come to common consensus on, you know, like reopening investigations should be mandatory and demanding the immediate arrest of General Ahmed. I mean, this is the guy that financed the thing. He gets to walk away. We're not going to do that. No soldier would support that if they truly understood how valuable these words on freedom are. And I can't figure it out why people don't.
Well, anyway, hey, the show is now over. I want to thank you for calling in. We will talk to you again, won't we?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Okay, all right. Good day, John. Good day to everybody.
And now let's go back to the phone lines. John in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh. I just wanted to further solidify the nature of Newt Gingrich. Gingrich perpetrating a fraud. We just got to look at his history, man. This guy is my terminology, okay? He's a demon enemy of America. All he's there to do is con the grunts that don't, you know, generally don't have the smartest of intellects to undermine justice for yourselves. I mean, he didn't support the arrest of General Ahmed, example, who financed 9/11. He didn't support just pursuing the actual bad guys. He just lies and lies and lies. He lied about the WMD. In fact, Newt Gingrich is the guy who said anybody that gets arrested as a terrorist shouldn't be granted a lawyer or a judge. Don't give them the Geneva Conventions. This is a new kind of war. And if you might be aware, Josh, you know the Supreme Court in the United States recently verdict that Obama is freely within his rights to imprison any American without charge indefinitely, hold you in death camps perhaps, orchestrated through FEMA. These guys are not defending America's interests when they talk the way they do, promoting further wars. I mean, North Korea, the Korean conflicts there is not easy to understand, but why don't we try to just fight for their rights or freedoms? I mean, there are other strategies other than just indiscriminately slaughtering people, you know, but he's not into thinking anything to serve the interests of the public. He's in there for private, nefarious means to undermine your authority as a free peoples. I mean, I just type Newt Gingrich and all you get is his demon lies. He's always exposed, but Fox News will never put the intelligent people on who actually know what they're talking about. It's WMDs, terrorism, 9/11, everything, man. He's just there to lie to us, to kill ourselves, to have our kids die, needlessly escaping those truly responsible, like a neocon, of which he firmly is. You know, he's like one of the top neocon propagandists out there to undermine our pursuit of justice. He's just a scumbag.
There's been two things that he specifically said in the past year to 2 years that have really, besides just this current thing, there's been two things specifically that he said that has showed his cards. Number one, the first thing he said, I think it was 2007, he said that ending the First Amendment is a good idea, and we need to do away with the First Amendment so that it keeps anybody who has a dissenting point of view against the government silent. And then number two, the other thing he said last year was that we needed to be attacked again, and that we needed another 9/11 type of attack in in the Western Hemisphere to remind Americans that there is still a threat from Al-Qaeda. Now, I mean, you know, I don't know what the general definition for a terrorist is, but in my mind, those two things fall under the guise of terrorism, John.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, man, you want to imprison somebody without any evidence, and you don't want to pursue the crime scene leads. He's a, like I say, he is a true demon. If there's ever a demon that's ever existed, Newt Gingrich is it. He's ungodly. He's an enemy of every free man breathing. I mean, why doesn't he want to arrest General Ahmad? You know, Bush closed investigations. Instead of criticizing Bush, he's repeatedly told us how during that tenure, almost demanding that you whore to Bush without thought. You cannot question any of his decision making. Don't form your own conclusions because, hey, Josh, we know if you think for yourself, you're a terrorist. That's Bush's proclamation. And then this is total madness. He shouldn't be, not only should he not be on Fox News, he should be behind bars. I mean, he's undermined the CIA. The CIA, for you know, how many good guys there are in there, I don't know. But there's a couple, okay? And some of them have come forward prior to the Iraq War, so there's no WMD threat. This is all bogus. They put those documents, they reworded critical sentences and then submitted it to Congress. That's a fact. Bugliosi, once Bush arrested for war crimes on that point. It was spoken by Kucinich in Congress. All these demon enemies pretend they never understood any of those arguments that were clearly outlaid by Kucinich, along with, I can't even remember, some like 38 other high crimes against America's interests, that these enemies just deny us equal privilege to discuss these matters freely. You know, at coast to coast, I'm asking you, I don't know, your listeners or yourself, we got to make the effort to pick up our phones and demand coast to coast, openly discuss this subject matter. Soldiers are dying, people are dying, all for our failures to communicate simple principles. And they're the principles that are largely enshrined already in the Constitution. But people like Gingrich, they say, never mind the First Amendment, never mind evidence to form a conclusion. We're closing investigations. He's letting all the bad guys escape. Now he wants to promote more wars of indiscriminate slaughter. The real people's lives are on the line here, and he's being an enemy is what he is.
Well, here's my thing about it, John, though. I mean, I've heard you call in and talk about this before. I don't know. I just don't. I don't agree with that statement that we need to trying to get coast to coast AM to cover these things. I mean, coast to coast AM to me discredits itself by the fact that it tries to associate real information with ghost stories and chupacabras and Nessie and Bigfoot and stuff. So and that, my problem is that, you know, whenever they allow somebody on there to put out real information, you know, people, the lowest common denominator of people that are listening to that type of show don't know fact from fiction and can't oftentimes discern what's real from the ghost stories or what's real from the chupacabra. So, I mean, I understand what you mean. It's a big reach in having those, putting that information out there with that type of listening audience would allow them to be able to discern for themselves what's not and what's real. But at the same time, it's just like all that really does is further their agenda against this type of information.
Right. Well, all we got to go with is truth, and truth prevails if it's allowed to freely be discussed. It could happen on CNN, too. You just go, does anybody disagree with the fact that Bush needs to be arrested? You open it to soldiers anonymously. He's closed investigations, and we know who financed it, and he hasn't been arrested. So you say those words, you go, anybody disagrees. So there'll be all those people who are locked into their Bigfoot fantasies, and they're not going to call in because they don't have any clue. Okay, but all the people who do have clues that have sons and daughters' lives on the line are going to be concerned, and they're going to call up, and they're going to go, I never knew that. How come that wasn't on Coast to Coast earlier or CNN? It's just the power of words and truth can secure our freedoms. Like, hey, how about this? This is Supreme Court deciding that Obama can indefinitely hold an American without charge. No, that would be a criminal act, and any judge to decide that needs to be charged himself with treason. You can't just accidentally make that decision foolishly. These judges know specifically for sure what they're doing is undermining freedom for American citizens, and they think they're going to get away with it because we can't seem to organize ourselves. And the thing that Coast to Coast offers is it's a national broadcast where, you know, everybody who's wants to pay attention can, and it's reaching the largest audience.
Absolutely, John. I appreciate your call. I got to go to a break, man. You never want to stop when you call in. Somebody, you got to stop, man.
John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Becker.
Right. Thank you for calling. What do you got on your mind today? We don't have a lot of time, but I want to get you in.
Okay. Well, you got me triggered when you were talking about accepting Sharia law is a respect for the religious freedoms of others.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. Obama on, I believe, or I'm pretty sure it was on Friday, had been questioned about what his position was on the Sharia ruling in Afghanistan to make legal the raping of women. Mm-hmm. And he said it was abhorrent, but, you know, that's really not what the soldiers are there for. They're there to get Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And earlier in the day, he had told us why soldiers are dying in Afghanistan is that the perpetrators of 9/11 came from Afghanistan. This is just truly unacceptable. Soldiers are dying, and they're not even speaking in the defense of women's rights. And it's actually fairly easy to do if you believe in Muhammad or the Quran. I mean, God's intent is to be just. You treat people unjustly, you're being ungodly. It's as simple as that. You can find all the references in the Quran to form your statement as true religious freedom. But those words are never spoken, and the words aren't even spoken for Christians who were put to death in Afghanistan, as there was that gentleman a little while ago who had that just happen. Now, we didn't get to witness his death, and some people say he managed to escape. Regardless, nobody's speaking for the interests of defending their freedoms, and instead they go, yeah, well, it's not really our concern. We're going after the terrorists. Well, mm-hmm. That's just bogus, because we're not supporting the freedoms that Americans say we hold as true. Mm-hmm. You deny those same values to the people in Afghanistan. And why does that end up hurting yourselves? Because if you say to the, as Bush did, and maybe Obama would chorus also, hey, we don't need to provide evidence to them that bin Laden did 9/11. We don't want to treat them with the same respect we treat ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're not following the crime scene leads at the real murder scene. Yeah. You're not forming your conclusion by documented fact.
Yeah, I know. It's a, I just want to bring in something, if I may.
Sure.
I want to start you back at the beginning of your statement a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, if you've listened to the show over a period of time, I cover at least 23 to 25 different disciplines, everything from geology to science to biochemistry.
Oh, I got that. Yeah,
the whole thing. And so I look at the little things that go on. First of all, President Obama did something that had never been done in the history of culture. What he did is that he bowed to the sheikh at the G20. He bowed from the hip. The president of the United States to give the sheikh the highest accolade that can be given to a human being among the Islamic fascists. Which the sheikh promotes. That's not PR or something like that. That's part of their culture. And the whole thing is, and when the president bowed, I knew it was over. You do not bow to the sheikh unless he owns your head. That's their culture.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's real world.
Unless in a mythical sense, or not mythical, in a fantasy, complete fantasy as it stands in our world political sphere of influence today, if he actually respected the rights of all people, and nobody does. Particularly in Saudi Arabia.
No, the whole thing, exactly. Of course, when the Desert Storm was going on, there wasn't any way to dress, talk, or do anything else in Desert Storm. Because of the laws there in Saudi Arabia. And meanwhile, the people in Saudi Arabia, those guys, they have their private planes to go to Britain at any time, and they were doing their deals on fax machines and doing the rest of it while we were fighting for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, but get back on something that's really critical here. What I brought out in the first part of the show is the fact that what was really discussed was the fact of the transatlantic system. In other words, the transatlantic system of implementing Sharia law as part of a cornerstone for the legal system of international courts to implement as the supreme courts of nations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going. Now, as far as the president is concerned, there is very little way that I can get away from the fact that from what I hear from on the Beltway and the rest of it, I think we're all being
we're politically correct, which will destroy us. Being politically correct in this country is going to destroy us. Because what we're doing, we're not calling it the way it is.
Exactly. Well, and like that's what I say about these so-called religious leaders, and it falls in, under the Christian label also. I mean, they're the argument against the fact that Bush closed investigations immediately is an act of treason against God and humanity. He doesn't
want to get into what the
nature of God's intent. God's intent is just. So no matter what religion you're of,
but
Sharia law. I just wanted to say that they're pirates. They're not. They don't represent God's will.
This is going to be one of these situations where you have people coming into the United States of America, which is no longer the United States of America legally. It's the North American continent, and that's the legal term. The whole thing is that the Sharia folks are going to come and they're going to say, oh, you're like CASE is going to come along and say, well, you're being discriminatory about a whole process. What would happen if we make an example analogy and it's called a corollary. And we say to Britain, we say, well, look at Britain. They have Sharia law and look what's happened. There's no more Britain. You take France. They spent 5 hours with the President of the United States, with the other people, discussing the implementation of the control of the human mind. And it wasn't about economy, it was the control of the human mind.
To suppose that they could, as evildoers, they're hidden, or their evil is a deception unto themselves. We hear what they say. Like I said, Obama told us it's women's rights aren't really a concern for him. You know, and if we just could openly discuss this and say, well, listen, why are soldiers dying?
Yeah, the thing is, the reason is this, the whole issue of Afghanistan is serious. And the whole process is to blow off the idea that that's not our part of the issue and that's how we're dying is pure BS. The whole thing comes down to the fact that there are four major drug, mineral, and conceptual ideas in Afghanistan that are important for the future world war with Pakistan. So they have to have a borderline system to be able to develop something. The reason the troops have to be supported is not for what they're telling about the public. It has to do with the strategic systems of the management of the future security wall against Russia. And that's really going to be what the end game is going to be. And the whole thing is, the whole process is what they were talking about, what the public will not hear about, is the fact that they were using in the discussions of Thomas Malthus, you know, the Reverend Thomas Malthus, who felt that there were too many people on the earth,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about overpopulation.
Yeah. Again, the evil is the deceived disguise. There's a book called How the Other Half Dies by Susan Day, I think. It was written in the 70s, and we've had food conferences. I think they happen every 8 years, and it's always the same thing. We do not starve because there's too many people on the planet. We starve because there's not enough smart people running things. I mean, it's like 80% of the countries that have people starving to death have food surpluses. It's just a failure in leadership.
Oh, yeah,
all
of course.
Over the place.
I've done two shows on that last year and brought this up. And then, of course, now we have John Holdren, who is a President Obama's science advisor, and he's a disciple of Paul Ehrlich.
Yeah.
I remember Paul. You know, he's a short little fellow, bright as hell, and thing. You're in the class and you're thinking at Stanford, and you're listening to this guy. He's written his book and he's done his whole thing. And you go through about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden you discover that he's talking about killing people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's awesome. And this is what they did at the G20 in the past couple of days. Listen, John, I got to go.
All right, then.
But you have brought up a salient point that must not go away. There is no way that I'm going to see, for instance, that the United States legal system to be overrun by international courts to develop a new court system. Oh, that's it. You just go to another country and implement your court system if you like. You know what I mean?
Just on V.
everything. Clearly unjust, not godly. You know, I got to talk to you again, John. I got to go.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Jeez, lots of issues there. Where to begin? Yeah, you know, we're all affected by suggestion. There's no absolute certainty in this universe, and sometimes it's almost like it is a form of hypnosis. We can be distracted, as your last caller was talking about, in a million different ways, and we only have so much time in the day. But I want to give you an example. Ben Stein was on Larry King the day before Obama spoke on Jay Leno, and Ben Stein said on Larry King, he says, I'm reading the New York Times, and in the New York Times it's saying that AIG contacted congressmen and said if they didn't get their bailout money, they were going to run America into the ground. And that's why you have to give them cash. And you can get a copy of the transcript. And Ben Stein said that's called extortion. You know, and this is the problem we're facing on all of these myriad of top priority issues that involve real people's lives. Is that for some godforsaken reason, we've forgotten what justice means. You know, you need to follow probable cause at the crime scene to nab the true evildoers, and as you're aware, and many...
You know, let me plug Ben Stein for just a moment here. I've been a, you know, kind of a critic of Ben Stein being a former, speechwriter of the Nixon administration. But he recently put out a movie called The Case for Intelligent Design, and he really goes across all... goes across the country to all these different perspectives and basically shows you that they should not ban, you know, all this information that goes against conventional, if you will, evolution. You know, he doesn't necessarily say that evolution is a total farce, but he also makes the case for intelligent design. And I honestly think it's one of the best documentaries of the year. I think it's even a little bit better than Religulous, the Bill Maher vehicle. Both of them are really good. But it seems like Stein is becoming more and more outspoken as things become more and more corrupt and Orwellian.
Yeah, well, I don't really want to get off the reason I called, but there is actually no conflict between Orwellian...
evolution and creationism.
Intelligent design and evolution. We've scientifically understood this since about the early 40s when the electron microscope was discovered, and we found out that atoms aren't just little rocks. They actually contain little universes inside themselves, and there's irreducible complexity. We can understand the multidimensionality of DNA. And there's also cross horizontal gene transfer. This is where genetics truly is. But anybody in Monsanto who funds all our universities doesn't want anybody to understand those things, because if we did as the general public, Monsanto would minimally be out of our schools and in all likelihood it'd be in prison for all the criminal actions.
John, eat the GMO food and shut up.
Right. But I wanted to get,
okay, go ahead.
I wanted to get to this idea of our failures in understanding what justice means. Now, I don't want to talk about 9/11, maybe another day, but, you know, Bush closed investigations immediately, so it's called obstruction, and he deserves to be arrested, case closed. But in the case of AIG, so we have Ben Stein saying this, and then the next day, now I'm talking about mind control here, the next day, Obama's on Jay Leno, and what does he tell you? He says, all the shenanigans in the marketplace were all perfectly legal, and there's nothing we can do about that, because Jay Leno said, well, isn't there going to be any arrests or anything? No, it was all perfectly legal. And it's a religion. You want to believe that your bankers are in control and that they're geniuses and that, you know, like the New World Order and all this, they really know what they're doing. But when you understand how these things go down, a good thing to always watch is when you say the word they, try to figure out, or when other people say it, you know, when they blame, oh, they're doing it, they're in control, try to understand who it is. And when we look at AIG, it's huge criminality that's going unaddressed, is unarrested. You know, they derivatives, for example, or they trade derivatives that are worthless and then pay themselves commissions with our pension money. Now, in other countries, that's forbidden, like Canada, for example. You can't have investment bankers tied to pensions directly, but in your country, with the abolition of the Glass-Steagall Act, that's exactly what they've done. So you have... Bear Stearns that went bankrupt with $77 trillion in derivatives. They have no pension money. All the cash is gone, but they're going to give you $77 trillion in derivatives, which is worthless, so they go bankrupt. So it's, and Geithner is saying all the things he's going to change in the marketplace, and guess what? Well, we're thinking maybe we should regulate hedge funds. So they're telling you there's been no oversight on what hedge funds are or what they've been doing, and yet Greenspan told us on CNBC 2 days ago, interviewed, what did he know about credit default swaps? And he said, well, I tried to figure out the math, and I could never figure it out for myself when I was the head of the Federal Reserve.
I just don't know.
I swear to God, that's what he said, and it was on television. So this is our failures. If nobody there said, well, shouldn't we arrest somebody or arrest you? You're telling us you knew that you had no idea how this was going down, and yet you spoke nothing about it, and in fact encouraged it, and what? And again, it's the ignorance of the populace. The television never tells us. The talk radio doesn't tell us either what's going on. But very few people have the knowledge. You know, but they've taken something that's worthless and made it AAA-rated investment vehicle.
Did you listen to that Kaiser segment I played earlier where he literally talks about the controlled demolition coup d'etat?
Oh, I didn't listen to it, but I love Kaiser. He's such an awesome guy, man. I love
listen,
him.
You need to listen to this, man. We're getting him on because he just was on Paris TV, and he basically said that this whole economic collapse is contrived. It's a coup d'etat. It's like the controlled demolition of Building 7 in the World Trade Center. He talked about that. I mean, he said these guys all need to go to prison. He's like, he basically called them financial terrorists. He went over all this. He said it was going to be the Weimar Republic in about 6 months. Go ahead.
Part of the control, though, I believe, and I'd love to have a debate with anybody on this, is I would say why Glenn Beck and all these guys at Fox News are so-called coming on to the, it's a new world order coming down, is they're diverting us, because as I say, there's only so much time in the day, they're diverting us from the fact that CBC National News reported 2 days ago that the American suckers have given out so far $9.9 trillion in bailout money. Now, understand, you're giving money to private bankers on only hopes that they'll lend some of it back to you at interest. You've got to cover that $9 trillion. Now, if you're at all religious, the Bible says, seek and you shall find. You can find out where the money's going in Washington Post. Yesterday or the day before, it's reporting that this money is going to the Cayman Islands and European banks. So it's not even and in addition to all this, J.P. Morgan right now has more than $1 trillion in capital. So why are you bailing out anybody on prayers that they might lend it back to you when J.P. Morgan's got more than $1 trillion presently?
Yeah, and meanwhile, we're going to nationalize the car industry and end what little, we used to make in this country. Let's end some pensions for some people. Let's end the unions. Let's end the American worker in this country, the blue-collar worker altogether. And let's create a new banking system that only empowers these criminals even further. I thank you for the call, John. I got to jump. I got so many other people on the line. Let's see. We can take one more caller before this break. Great call. I just couldn't spend any more time on the financial collapse and the control that they're... I mean, we've covered it here today. I mean, this is a controlled collapse to bring in a global super currency.
I don't think this revolution is going to be won with guns. The revolution is being fought today and won with keyboards, not with bullets and bombs. We're going to go to the phones. We've got John in Canada. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. I don't know, man. Quite a bit, I guess. I think part of our problem is a failure to understand our circumstances. You're doing an awesome job, we need better communications straight across the board, particularly on a national level. Ben Stein, for example, on Larry King the day before Obama spoke on Jay Leno, was referring to an article he read in the New York Times, and he said, well, you know, people, this is extortion. When AIG says, if you don't give us the bailout money, we're going to run you into the ground, it's a criminal offense. Okay, so, and he didn't, that's about as far as he went, but that's our problem is, and I'm listening to everybody, I'm trying to, nobody's acknowledging what a criminal offense is, what fraud is, and why it should be, and it is illegal. It's just we don't have leadership skills present to defend ourselves, you know, like a subprime. A lot of these market shenanigans are very hard to communicate to people who don't understand any how these machinations have developed, because it's certainly not offered on television, except for this documentary I watched on CNBC the other day called House of Cards. And they're talking about how people would get refinance their mortgage at the bank, and the bank wouldn't tell them, or the bank would tell them, oh, we're going to lower your payments. So, of course, almost everybody signed on to that. You're going to lower my payments? Oh, yeah, it's a pretty good deal. Sign on the dotted line. Thank you. And then in 2 years, their payments double, and they foreclose on the house and walk away with that property. And these are some of the kind of scams. The premise or the central core of our problems is that the banks never cover our loans, you know? So that's the biggest issue around, and it's got very little to do with, well, and these are our problems in communicating, you know? We can find mutual agreement, common cause that all people would adhere to. It's just there are all kinds of surrounding issues that people either have different differences of opinion or, you know, if we center ourselves on certain principles, there doesn't have to be any violent altercations at all. An example, if
you know, if I was granted the privilege, which is, seems unlikely because I've been trying to do this for almost a decade, but if I was granted the privilege to speak on, let's say, CNN or Coast to Coast, I would just simply say, Bush closed 9/11 investigations immediately after the terrorist event occurred. Okay, that's called obstruction of justice. He needs to be arrested immediately. Does anybody on earth disagree with that position? And this is the idea of justice and what freedom is. And you're not going to find an honorable soldier to speak out and go, no, we don't want to pursue the evildoers. You know, even if bin Laden did do 9/11, which of course he didn't, but let's just say he did. Are you saying he had no accomplices whatsoever? Don't you want to find out who all was working with bin Laden? Because the investigations were closed. And similarly with the banks, if we understood that there's all kinds of criminal malfeasance that's occurred, fully documented, we would demand our money back. You know, for example, as I think I might have told you a couple of weeks ago, Bear Stearns went bankrupt with $77 trillion in derivatives.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? We have to understand what kind of scams they've been running. You know, they'll say, we lost your pension money, for example. I encourage anybody to just type, you know, lost pensions or something. You know, use that word lost, and how many times the banks come forward and say, you know, we lost your money, we lost your money, we lost your money. I want an explanation. CNN never makes those demands. You know, Ron Paul, for all the good positions that he has, well, I don't want to put any pressure on Ron Paul, but a lot of people say Ron Paul's the answer, and he's not fighting judiciously. He says, well, get him to audit the books, and maybe in a couple of years we'll be able to figure it out. I want it to be figured out right now before they get away with any more money. Another thing that was articulated in the CNBC documentary, I believe, I've got to get a copy of it and make sure I heard what I thought I heard. $8 billion this one individual was clearing each month on subprime mortgages, you know, on being able to get somebody to sign on the dotted line to lower their payments and then score big time. Like, he also made a movie, this individual, smashing up $500,000 cars for pleasure because he's just got so much money to waste. And, you know, your pensions are gone. He's got money to waste. Your pensions are gone. You know, and nobody's saying that everybody saw, you know, they goofed up. We goofed up. No, they're stealing our money. In fact, they've already gotten away with so much money. And, you know, who is it that disagrees with these positions? We're fearful of what we don't understand. And,
well, you've hit the nail on the head. There are a lot of people still wondering why Americans are fearful to stand up. You know, we've gone along with this idea that we have to be in our free speech zones. And I'm waiting for that one incident that's going to really get through the malaise and get people angry. As you say, people don't understand exactly what's going on. It's deliberately obfuscated. Our leadership, is, you know, we're told, let the police handle it, let the courts handle it. But the police and the courts, they're completely compromised. We're finding out now that for the last 6 months, all of these trillions of dollars that are going into these financial institutions, they're turning right around and they're making huge campaign donations to the very politicians who are signing this money over to them. And so the system is simply corrupt all the way from top to bottom. And this is why we're reaching the point, you know, it's like Robert Kennedy used to say, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, violent revolution becomes inevitable. Now, again, I'm not saying I think we need to go violent, but I think we need to understand that working within the system doesn't work for us anymore, because every day we're seeing the solution to the economy's problems consists of taking money from working people and middle-class people who don't have it to dump on people who, as you say, they've got so much money, they're smashing up $500,000 cars just for the giggle factor.
Yeah, and one more thing I'd like to throw in, too, in the CNBC documentary, again titled House of Cards, they'd interviewed Greenspan on the credit default swaps, and of course, I imagine a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about, but the Greenspan was asked specifically, how do you make something that's worthless, practically worthless, into AAA-rated an investment vehicle? It's not worth anything, but all of a sudden it is. How did they do this? They asked Greenspan, and he goes, I had no idea. I reread it, and he almost said he was a mathematical genius. He said he's very familiar with mathematics. He looked it over. He could never figure it out. He never understood what it meant. And he's the guy that heads the Federal Reserve, okay? Now, that shows there needs to be some, you know, people have to question whether a criminal warrant has to be made for his arrest. How could he say that, to say that he had no idea of what was going on? And he headed the Federal Reserve. Why didn't he speak out at that time? Because in that documentary, it's like, what, $900 billion minimum is coming out of America's pocket due to these credit default swap scams. And again, it's got all this, you know, credit default swaps on derivatives and subprime mortgage matters.
Yeah, it's legalized gambling is what it is. It's all gambling debts. And, yeah, it is a major problem. And the part that has not sunk through, and maybe in 2 weeks' time when people are signing their 1040 stupid forms, and they're sending in, you know, the, what little is left of their lives to the federal government, and they'll realize that the government is taking this money from them. It is not fixing the roads. It's not fixing the schools. It's not fixing the bridges. It is simply taking all this money from the American people, and it's giving it to the people who created the economic mess.
And they're shipping the money out of the country.
Yeah, foreign central banks. Oh, yeah, the corruption is just nonstop. And listen, John, we got to let you go. We got to take a commercial break. And thank you for calling and calling again. Richard and Steve, we will take your calls on the other side of the break. So hang with us. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.